Ambition is critical.
Just gonna warm my hands up the watch.
Mate, I all evening's on. My electric bill fucking is going to be scandalous. They turned all electric off a few years ago.
Right.
Because they wanted us to move to smart meter, right?
Yeah.
And so they turned 8 people's electric off at once, right? Like the machine stopped working. Right. Thinking that we don't speak, it's put on, let's speak parties every fucking 3 weeks, for fuck's sake. And so they fucking turned all the machines off, said, "Oh, got our smart meters." No, no, I don't want the smart meter. We've got to have a smart meter because the thing ain't working. Right. Yeah, my thing ain't working because we've turned all ours off at the same week, like. And they come to fit the smart meter, didn't fucking fit it because COVID, and we haven't had fucking electric bill since. But tell you, I've had an electric blanket for Christmas.
Right.
Jesus Christ. She thinks we've got to put it on 24 hours a day. So, like, tell you now, goes to bed naked.
Right.
Whereas, like, her room is, like, a cold room. All the windows fucking in great, you know what I mean? And her room was the coldest room in the house. Was mine and daughter's bedroom, biggest bedroom in the house. Walk-in wardrobe, because fucking Precious wants in it. Precious fucking got. And then Precious moans in about the room temperature. So now she got this fucking heated blanket, right? I walks in the fucking room and I'm like, fucking hell. Every other room is fucking cold. I was just walking, yeah. Fucking Telly's here with fucking, like, she's in the fucking jungle, like, you know. She's walking around like Jane from fucking Tarzan and Jane. And I'm like, you do understand, like, this is just like a hot water bottle 10 minutes on before bed just to fucking warm.
Yeah.
Oh, she was on all night. All night, like, so fucking she is fucking swelling, like, in the winter, like, my electric bill is going to be thousands, like, you know, like, something I look forward to.
Okay, I saw Alex Davis last week, and my hands are fucking freezing, and I'm like this, right, and things are worse now since I got this fucking Amazon. I've always been a freezing bloke, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just one of those people that's always freezing, right? And he goes, get your hands in there, boy. He's got a jacket and warmers in the pockets.
Behave. Is it Small Island? It's gone to the CD company, is it?
It was some work, Jack.
Dickies. It was a Dickies.
I need one in my life. I need one in work in the mornings.
That's clever.
That is a game changer.
I hate having cold hands.
It's the worst. It's
cold hands, cold feet.
You were just saying now, before we started this, you're still in shorts, right? I'm in shorts. Never, ever worked a day in DPD when I didn't have shorts on.
Yes, right? Of course.
Trousers, waste of fucking time. Shorts all the time. So people are going, like, at me and work, right? You're always complaining you're cold. You're still walking around in shorts.
Right? Yeah.
But my legs aren't cold.
Yeah.
So my fucking hands, mate, my fingers, and this hand, my right hand at the minute, is getting a fucking tune in. You can put all the hats on in the world. I got a hoodie up.
Yeah,
I got three
yeah.
fucking jackets on. My body is not cold.
Yeah.
Hands. Digits. You cannot do like anything with it, mate.
Now and again, I wear socks to bed because they hate having cold feet.
Yeah. A treat.
It's a treat. Yeah. Like on a Saturday or something. What a Tuesday, as Lily says. So, like, I'll leave my socks on, right? Fucking Donna wears a fucking roller now and a fringe all the time if she's not out of the house.
Right.
I don't know how this fucking started, whether she's seen some fucking documentary about Liverpool. My missus always got a roller on, like. So last night, I had the fucking socks on. She had a roller in bed. The fucking roller stuck in my foot, right? From 1:10, right, to 1:35, I was trying to get this fucking roller off one foot, onto the other foot, off the other. And now and then I just thought, I'll just sleep with the fucking roller on. Do you think I could sleep with a roller on in foot?
Yeah.
Weird. But like, no, kick it off on one and stay
on the
other. Fucking half
and
hour.
It's because you're tired and you're trying not to.
Can't be arsed to get off the bed.
Can't be arsed to stretch down there.
Same as, I watch his telly in bed on the iPad. Do you think I should, like, get out of the bed, put the iPad on
No,
I just put the iPad in the bed, and the iPad is in between the cracks of your arse.
This is something that I have neglected for a large part of my life, right? But it's started coming back in recently, right? It's fantastic. What you're talking about there, like, I got the TV in my bedroom, right? So now, when I was young, I always, if you go to bed, just chuck the TV on, you're watching it, doors off, there's that dribbly stage, you know, and it's fucking great. It's the best way to fall asleep, right? I forgot all about that.
Right.
You know, recently, last couple of months, TV in bed before I go to sleep is happening every night. I treated myself last night to go to bed at 7:30.
Just to go on.
I put the killer on. I hadn't watched it yet. Michael
disappointing.
I fell asleep.
It's not ideal. It's not great.
I lasted the first scene before I fell asleep and woke up at 4:00 this morning. I did try to watch it dinner time today when I got in from work.
Yeah, yeah.
and then fell asleep 5 minutes later. So I don't know about that saying.
It's not great, mate.
No.
So I went to see Napoleon. Should be incredible, shouldn't it? You know, the story of Napoleon.
Back in Phoenix.
Fuck, it was more about his missus than him. It's like doing a film about my life and being more about fucking Donna.
Right.
No, it was like, last half hour was great, but I was expecting brilliant director. Like, fucking, go back a couple of years ago, The Martian. What a fucking brilliant film. The Killer. Like, David Fincher is one of the greatest directors out there. You know, Seven. Social Network, Fight Club, incredible director. The Killer was shit.
Mm.
Napoleon, not great. Oppenheimer, fantastic.
Who's seen Oppenheimer yet, mate?
Brilliant.
I will do. It's just
problem is, if I'm watching the cinema to see the explosion, it was worth seeing in the cinema. If I make sense, you know what I mean. But no, it's a great film, character driven. Brilliant film, like Downtown Alan Brown would love it, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, I am. No, that in bed thing is coming back big style.
Right, I love
so
it.
So what I normally do, I don't want to pick a film that I haven't seen before because I want to watch The Killer. Do you know what I mean? Just even if it's shit, I want to watch it. Like I did with Many Saints in Newark. I put it off for fucking 2 years.
Yeah.
I watched it, got through it. Anyway, so I normally watch. So what I've watched recently, just this week alone, there's been some crackers. The Accountant with Ben Affleck.
Right, go on. Any good?
Have you seen The Accountant? No,
I have not.
The Accountant's a very good film. Really?
Yeah, I saw
The Accountant ages ago. And I watched it. I watched two Ben Affleck films this week in bed. I don't know what's going on with Ben. Like
Ben, brilliant. Gone Girl, fucking brilliant film. What's the Boston one?
The Town.
The Town.
It's a great film.
Wicked film.
Yeah,
what he's on the list, boys and girls. The Town, great film.
Obviously, Good Will Hunting, one of my favourite films.
I haven't seen it for years, but it's on Netflix, so I might give it a whirl.
I've got to watch it at least once a
year. No, the end of Good Will Hunting wasn't the original.
Good Will Hunting?
What did I call it?
It's a sequel, isn't it? I didn't hear that.
Good Will Hunting, the porn version we bought in the Mad film. Good Will Hunting's original ending, he goes on to be an FBI agent, and a spy.
Right.
Will do like.
Yeah.
He went, no, we've gone right off the fucking point. You know, it's just a fucking school drama. Like.
Yeah.
The original
ending's perfect.
Yeah, the original ending, he fucks off to be a spy.
It's perfect. Arguably Robin Williams' best ever acting performance.
Yeah. I haven't seen Good Morning Vietnam in a long time, but.
No, I haven't seen it for a bit. I saw it when I was young. But I watched The Accountant, good film. I watched Triple Frontier.
What the bastard else?
That's on Netflix. I hadn't seen that before. I chucked it on because I thought it would be garbage and ended up being okay.
Right.
I was like, what else did I watch? I watched loads recently, just re-watching
stuff. Mate, sometimes I like what I like. Not when we put on the WhatsApp group the other day, what do you recommend? Like, I was on the verge of starting Sopranos again, 25th anniversary. I was on the verge of fucking doing that, like, because sometimes I like going back. I'm watching things that, watched. I thought I'd seen it before, but I haven't seen it from beginning to end. Interstellar.
No, I've seen it.
Brilliant film. Brilliant film. And it was like, seeing a film that you hadn't sort of seen before, and I was like, fucking hell, this is fucking great. Like, you know what I mean? It was, Mike Evans. He commented on a post yesterday. He just finished The Sopranos. On our recommendation.
Oh, yeah.
And his exact words were, just finished Sopranos first time, best TV show I've ever seen. Thank you for the recommendation.
25 years this week as well.
25 years this week.
Which is mad, fucking mental. Which is mental. I saw a post yesterday, the film Juice. Did you ever see Juice?
Is that the rap pack. One? Like,
yeah,
right
it's not a rap one at all. It's just got Tupac in it.
Right,
like,
okay.
It's actually a drama, like, you know
what I mean? Yeah.
Fucking great film. Do you know how many times I must have watched that when I was a kid? I mean, watched it over and over and over and over and over. 32 years yesterday. I was thinking to myself, fuck me, where are you getting on? 11 I must have been when the first time I seen it. Do you know what I mean? It's fucking hell. Yeah, it fucking flies like.
I know we've talked about it before, but The Sopranos at the time, it was on Channel 4, I remember me and you was into it before anyone, 25 years. Mad old TV, that probably changed television.
It did change
really,
television, yeah.
Because the idea of the box set didn't really exist until then, did it? You know what I mean?
No.
I remember, it's fucking mad because, and it's luck, total luck. Didn't know really what I heard of The Sopranos, but didn't know what it was. A lot of people thought it was a fucking play, a drama about opera. No one really fucking knew what The Sopranos was. At 10 o'clock on Channel 4, 25 years ago, my mother would have been, so I would have been in maybe at the house uptown now. And I remember watching 10 o'clock Channel 4 come on, I just put it on. And the episode that come on was Pine Barrens. I didn't know any like backstory about the characters, this, that. But Pine Barrens, come on. And I'm not kidding you, it was one of the best hours of television that I'd ever seen. It was funny as fuck. It was fucking brutal. It was fucking, the writing was brilliant. And I was like, what the fuck is this? You know, Lord, just luck that that was the one I ended up. And then the rest is history.
Yeah, they say, you know, obviously it was like, maybe not the first as such, because like I said, we'll talk about this previously on, you know, Oz was the first thing I saw. It was the first sort of HBO drama series. It sort of, Oz paved the way for Sopranos.
Right, yeah.
Oz didn't influence the same way.
Culture
like the Sopranos, but it influenced the Sopranos. And then they sort of, if you watch Oz now, like you can see how polished the Sopranos is next to Oz. Like,
same HBO though, isn't it?
Same HBO, yeah, yeah. So, you know, Oz was like fucking really strong, heavy, like taboo subjects. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, in prison, maximum security prison in America. And I'd never seen anything like Oz before in my fucking life. Until the Sopranos come along. And you can see that they're made from this, they're not made by the same people, but they're made by HBO. They were allowed to do the same things. They were basically, you know, David Chase had talked about it, like making a 1 hour film
every
episode. It was a 1 hour film, and that hadn't really sort of been done before. And then it influenced everything you see now as far as Game of Thrones and fucking everything, you know. And like you look at it now, they don't do 1 hour episodes now. Game of Thrones done 90 episodes and stuff. It's just like the next evolution of it. But yeah, it was so evolutionary in its way. Like having the lead character be a sociopathic fucking murderer, gangster, crook, criminal. That hadn't really been done before. Yeah. He's like a complete anti-hero to what should be, you know, what they should be broadcast like. But like, it's still fucking fascinating. Still a brilliant thing. I still love watching anything on it. Just if it's just scenes, you know what I mean? Just you just see the odd scene, then you're on Instagram and you just start laughing.
Well, I'm sure at the end of the first series, you have like a Keith Richards song in the back when they're taking photos in like Meadows christening or Meadows fucking bar, whatever the fuck it is. But the one that sticks with me, the first episode of season two, you can find it on YouTube, like if anyone's fucking interested, put on YouTube the beginning of season two, episode one.
Yeah,
intros, right? The intro, right? And it's Frank Sinatra song, It Was a Very Good Year. And it goes from character to character to character as an intro.
What they've been up to, like?
Fucking, no genius, 3.5 minutes of television just to a Frank Sinatra song that not everyone's fucking familiar with. Like, incredible bit of fucking television, like unbelievable. Like,
yeah.
I finished Succession.
I haven't seen any of it.
You love it. Right. So, like, that's gotta go on. Succession, brilliant, right up your street. Like we said on here before, based loosely on the Murdochs. Mad. The Murdochs are fucking wild. But it is like the kids trying to take over the old man's fucking business. The old man's fucking... And it ended, it finished brilliantly, actually. Like, it was a good ending to it. Like, 4 series done. Brilliant. Well, we're talking about telly now. True Detective.
This new season started.
New season started. Jodie Foster. Supposed to be fucking brilliant.
I haven't watched any of it.
Will it be as good as the first season?
It's hard.
Probably fucking not. Have you seen the others?
I've seen the season two and season three.
Right, two seen them all.
All right, so I didn't know if there was any more after that. I didn't really sort of, you just didn't get into them the same way. The second season was Colin Farrell, wasn't it?
That's it.
So I definitely watched that one. And the third season then, I can't picture, I can picture the guy, but I can't think of his fucking name. I'm not sure if I stuck with it.
Yeah.
But I definitely watched the second season.
And the first one is brilliant. The
first one's fucking brilliant. You know, you could go back and rewatch that. Just stand alone on its own. You know what I mean?
Which I did a few weeks back.
Did you? Yeah. Brilliant. No, yeah, it's brilliant. Fucking really, really good. I actually was watching, you know, I go on YouTube and you go off and the fucking tangents and it was just something come up. The Genius of Russ Cole, which obviously was Matthew McConaughey's
character,
wasn't it? Yeah. And it was like a breakdown by some film nerd about how good Matthew McConaughey is.
Isn't it mad how he goes from being this laughed at actor standing against a wall holding a jacket in a rom-com in every single poster to like this fucking
dead serious, he didn't just do it overnight, it seems like he did it overnight, but he was in Dallas Buyers Club,
Wolf of Wall Street,
there was in a lot of things that sort of built to now he's like a fucking really seriously taken fucking actor, one of the biggest actors in the world. I haven't really watched, apart from going to bed and watching fucking films, I spend my life on YouTube. I don't know what's happened to me. I'm like literally just, I'm going off.
The YouTube.
Like, YouTube. Outside of Reacher, which I'm up to date on Reacher, because Reacher now, have you seen any Reacher?
Right. I've read loads of Reacher books, all fucking brilliant. So I started the first series, and I pretty much enjoyed it, but it's one of those where me and Donna watched it, and I felt it out. So I watched about four, but then carry on with it.
I stuck with it. I come back from holiday last year and I don't know why I chose to watch that, but I stuck it on and I binge watched it. Still had a couple of days off where I went to work and I binge watched it. And I sort of like, it's a bit more B TV. Does that make any sense? You've got like your Sopranos and all them. Like, it's a little bit more cheesy. But it's fucking half watchable.
It's
fucking entertaining as fuck. You've got to suspend it. They're running around fucking blowing shit up. It's a bit like Sons of Anarchy like that. Like, but I like it. It's fucking really good. So I'm up to date on Reacher. That's what I'm watching. I did start Gen V, which is the Boys spin-off, which we talked about.
So it's going to talk about the Boys. I never stuck with the Boys.
Mate, this fucking
that mental. Good, is it? That's up
there. And Gen V, I'd heard that it was as mad, and it fucking is. I've only watched two episodes. I am trying to, I was planning on keeping it for when I'm off work soon, but I started it, I couldn't help but start it. I mean, it's fucking crazy.
So the Boys is well worth
it. It's brilliant. It's like you say, this day and age where everything's a bit filtered and a bit watered down, it's nice to see that there are still people out there making shit purposely offensive, like Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Curb Your Enthusiasm, fucking Gen V, The Boys, do you know what I mean? Stuff where there's like no limits on what they can say is like, you know, in The Boys and Gen V and that, it's a bit more gore, you know, it's a bit more like, oh my God, I can't believe that shit had just happened. You know, with like Always Sunny in Philadelphia, they're always poking fun at taboo subjects. Like Ricky Gervais' stand-up, which I just watched recently, Dave Chappelle's new special, which they're both on Netflix, came out over Christmas. You watch both of them and they're both like against everything that you'd think you'd be allowed to do now. Dave Chappelle's stand-up went up and it was immediately panned by all mass media in America, talking about one joke or two jokes that he makes about trans and, you know, taking a fucking piss, like, you know. But the rest of the special then, it's like as if they don't ignore everything else. Just trying to fucking cancel him. The problem is Dave Chappelle's so big, he's arguably the biggest comedian in America. They can't cancel him. And the same with Ricky Gervais over here. You know, Ricky Gervais' stand-up is purposely offensive.
Yeah.
You know? But again, you can't do it when you get to a certain point. But no, I'm glad they're still making things like that. On YouTube, though, I've watched some fucking crazy shit. Have you ever seen Beard Meets Food? I'm pretty sure Yon Harris was the one who told us about it.
So he goes around pubs, restaurants. Mate. Like, it's a bit like Man versus Food.
Yeah.
Challenges in it. Go on, here you go.
Mate, so I don't even know how it came up on some algorithm of mine. But I know someone mentioned it, you know, I'm pretty sure it was Yon Harris, right, when he was in. So it was 6 months ago, maybe, not even that long. And I watched one, and I've just now become addicted to it. It's like, I haven't seen him fail one fucking thing yet. This guy's an animal.
Really?
Yeah, and it's not much to look at. And, I mean, some, you know, like, just food. I like everything, the way they go about it, they sort of talk about the restaurant and the challenge and it's like 10 minutes long every fucking, I'm just become addicted to being this food now. He is winning in life because all he does, he gets about fucking 12 million views every fucking episode, right?
Yeah.
And he just releases one a week and all he does is he goes around the country, goes around Europe, goes around America doing fucking eating challenges. Now, what's not to like about that?
That's fucking living, you know, all right. Like,
that is someone who's just gone, fuck it, I'm going to do this and I'm going to see if it works. And then he's fucking made it. And he's made it, well, you know, YouTube famous as such, like, do you know what I mean? So, YouTube, fucking gone off my fucking head with YouTube recently. But, Christmas period, like, obviously we've been off quite a while. It was only like sort of yesterday when I looked at it and I looked back to the last thing we did and I was like, oh, fucking hell, this is, you know, like 5 weeks maybe. Seems longer than that though.
Is that all? Yeah. It's
maybe 6 weeks.
A lot of fucking hell.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Fuck, don't want to understatement of the fucking, yeah, a lot of fucking happened, like, you know what I mean? Where were we when we did the last one? It was your man in, or he's the one?
Yeah, yeah. So the last thing we did was just me and you. We had planned to do an episode after that, the Thursday after, but obviously your father was ill at that time.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, it got worse, and then obviously I'll leave you for.
Yeah, I can't remember. Had it got worse when we were here, or was he like?
No, it got worse that weekend after.
I think. Yeah. Like, so obviously I had the stroke. Like we said, he had a really bad, nasty stroke. Like, you know what I mean? Multiple bleeds on the brain, and like I said, he was in hospital and he was fucking talking fucking shit, and. Obviously, I know, and I'll back on with the ambulance thing, like, we can fucking, a day for an ambulance, absolutely fucking ridiculous, isn't it? But then in hospital, you know, like he said to me, he said, come on, we gotta go. I said, look, you know, just get it back. And I went, to know you were the biggest disappointment in my life. And he was like, okay, thank you very much for that. Right, okay. And he said, his message, he went, Colleen have dumped me. Everyone's left me on my own, didn't you? Right, talking shit. Goes up the next day and, good news, he said, I booked the cruise. We go to the Bahamas. Me, Donna, Tilly, and Claire. We used to live next door to me in one way, 25 years ago. Okay, very good. So we go to the Bahamas. And he was, it's hard work. He'd be, right, we're going out. Tell the doctors we go in, yeah? I said, oh, look, get better first, and then, right, yeah, okay, yeah, good idea. Right, you ready? We going? And this is going on for half hour, like, you know what I mean? Anyway, it was fucking sad, like, you didn't know which way. Didn't know at the time how we was going to go, like, whether going to a nursing home, whether total care, like, whether get better, because we were thinking maybe he's got an infection, a water infection, his fucking head's gone. Yeah. In a couple of days, he's going to come round. Like, James was in... Remember, Lincoln James, like, he was all saying he's had a really bad stroke. Like, Lincoln James coming to the hospital, he was there 2 days, fucked off without saying goodbye. You know what I mean? He fucking just went, you know. And that's when it got me thinking, fucking hell, they're saying he's had a bad stroke, but my old man is fucking worse than anyone in this ward, like, you know what I mean? And then he just sort of fell asleep then. I was screaming in his sleep, and like, everything they fucking tried to do just didn't fucking work. Like, they saying, look, you know, try this, try that. I've had a really bad fucking breather. And he just didn't really wake up. Like, put him in a room on his own. Lucky enough, we got the chance to say, sort of, everyone got a chance to say goodbye. Upset him until he went up there, you know what I mean? Left in a room on her own, and until he crying. You know, saying, oh, it's me. Fucking heartbreaking, like, you know. But he never fucking come round then. But I got to be honest, like, when you saw what he was like, the what he was, you know, can't control himself, you know what I mean? Don't know what he was, just not, it's not his father then, is it? You know what I mean? And that's fucking, that was scary. It would have been selfish for me to want him to survive for that life, like, 24 hours care in a fucking nursing home, can't do anything for himself. You know, my old man, hell, you know that one, my old man, like, and he just thinks, fucking hell. Oh, well, and then, so they put him on end of life care and a driver in. I think everyone knows once the driver goes in, you know, it's fucking, you know, matter of time. But then they wake, and I get why they do this, because some people got to be there, like, for about 5-6 nights. They phone me up like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, arts 2, his breathing's erratic, like, you know, I recommend you come up, you're like, fuck, right, the adrenaline's pumping in it. Get changed in 2 minutes, go up, get Colleen, go up to the hospital. And then you just sat watching your father breathe for fucking 6 hours. And by breathing, I mean taking like 20, 25 breaths and then stopping. And then everyone's like, fucking hell, is that it?
Yeah.
And then 20 seconds later, back breathing again. Like, it's just like fucking, whoa, not like a fucking comedy show. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, fucking hell, he's fucking gone. And then he's back breathing again. And I'm like, fucking hell. to do that for fucking 7 days. It was hard, like, you know, and it don't even meet me cast. We were on the verge of saying to the nurses, like, look,
don't ring me,
just fucking phone me if he's fucking gone, because this is fucking...
It's worse, yeah.
Right, we don't like to be there when we...
Mm.
But he could have gone any minute, any second of any fucking day, right? So, like, the chances of him being there or not is fucking a miss. Like, you know, we go up at dinner time. By the way, I had a fucking a parking ticket for the fucking hospital, mine.
Yeah, that's not a shock.
There's zebra crossings, like, all over. People park on the zebra crossings at dinner time because we can't fucking...
Can't
your father's an end of life care who's driving around 40 minutes trying to get a parking, trying to get a space, right? So right at the back is like a zebra cross, you park on there because everyone's parking wherever they can. And we had a fucking £40 ticket. Now, I've had tickets in the fucking past, right? But if ever there's one where you think, fucking hell, do
give
me a favour.
Give me a break, like.
Why do you think people are parking on the crossing? Like, obviously the fucking car park up there is too small, like.
It's way too small.
Way too fucking small for what it is, like. In the night, it's not so bad, like, you know, but... So we go up at 11 o'clock, spend a couple of hours there. Like, his missus would go back at 4 till 8. Then I would go back 8 till 11, 12. So you're there most, as much as you can, you know. But obviously then, obviously, we had a phone call then, like, 7 o'clock on a Friday, saying, you know, he's passed away, like, you know, it's fucking... Yeah, you know, and that's sad, like, you know, going up, I didn't want Tilly to see that. But, yeah, fuck, that was December the 15th. Of course, then it was fucking Christmas in a way, so, like, the funeral one, so... funeral one for a few weeks, eh? Yeah, a massive week, like. But, yeah, fucking hell, trying, you know, terrible fucking time, like. Do tend to feel like, because you're an only child, you do seem to think, like, fucking hell, I'm on my own, like, you know. And my missus will say, no, you've only got me, Tilly. We've got my two brothers. We've got my mother and father. I wish I was on my fucking own, to be honest. Like, characters, isn't it? But, like, literally, like, you do think, fuck, I'm only child. I've no one, like.
Mm.
I know, like, little things, like, in a selfish way, like, fucking hell. See, I'm fucking flat tire now. I'm fucking falling anew now.
Like,
my own mom, like, my mom just drop anything. Like, no, like, the stuff I told him with Telly, like, my mom took Telly to an exam once, right? The exam's 2 hours. He didn't know where to go. She just waited outside, right? But you haven't got a phone, you haven't got a book.
He just
sat staring at Kevin and going to school canteen for 2 hours. Like, she come out past, he come home, he went, oh, it's one of the happiest days of my life. He's like, you know what I mean? Chris Ware come on to me, because when we was telling, like, if people don't realise, like, my mother died 20 odd years ago, didn't get the chance to see Donna, didn't get the chance to see Telly. So when Telly come along, Donna went back after 3 months and my old man just basically stepped up and become grandfather / grandmother, like, you know, changing fucking, never changed a nappy before, changing nappies, taking it for picnics on the beach, stinking, you know what I mean? She'd go in this white fucking dress, come back like the fucking swamp thing. But what can you say? Like, you know, she'd be picking fucking cockles with my old man down the fucking beach, like. But, like, he fucking stepped up, like, you know, as in, like, I looked around at my mates, like, and none of the fathers could have done, like, I couldn't see Billy doing it because Angela's here, like, big Colin Breen, Tony Roselli, like, Brian Corley. I'm looking at all the fathers and they just couldn't have done that. And I thought my old man could have done it, really, if he didn't have to. And Chris Weck came on to me and he said, fucking hell. It was nice to say, actually, he said, and having met Crew, knows Chris Ware's old man, Stevie's
old man,
great guy. Like, he said, fuck, my old man's a brilliant grandfather. Like, he said, but I don't know if the kids have ever stayed, could stay the night with him. Like, you know, he wouldn't know what to do, like. But my old man didn't know what to do. But he just had to do it, like.
Yeah.
And in all fairness to him, and when you talk about man's man, like, fucking hell, when people talk about fucking, knowing the fucking influencers talk about, like, alpha males, like, you know what I mean? Fucking gym, but you know, people film themselves in the gym, alpha males. Like, my cousin Mark told me a story, right? He said, he went ferreting with my old man when he was about 12, right? My man talking fucking to Kamala and fucking, and then he said, Pat, I don't know what to expect, he said, but it was fucking mad, right? Picture the scene, right? So I'm in the middle of a field, right? There's fucking dogs running over here. There's ferrets running over there. There's rabbits, right? Fucking blood everywhere, right? Fucking all over the place. He said, the old man picked up a rabbit, right? Grabbed it round his neck, snapped its neck, right? And give the rabbit to my cousin Mark. Like, he said, I didn't sleep for about a week.
He just can't wash Watership Down again.
He said every time Bright Eyes comes on, he starts crying, right? But like, that was normal to my old man, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Fucking, everyone else is inheritance, is fucking materialistic things. Like, I've been, my inheritance is 50 badger heads in fucking cases. I don't know what to do with them. I was going to throw up, right? But then Tilly just gone up on eBay, like, these badger's heads, what do we call it? Not ambidextrous. Taxidermist. Yeah. Ambidextrous is
no-handed, right? Yeah.
So, taxidermist, right? I would have thrown these things. It's rabbits, badgers, foxes, all dead rabbits, only in a glass box. Don't tell me where he got them from. Are they £500 on eBay?
Are they really? Yeah.
And I'm like, I've fucking got badger's heads coming out my ass.
it's a new business, you know.
Exactly, like. And yes, my cousin, you know, is fucking mad, like fucking, we're talking about man's man, and to step up and do what he did, in all fairness to the fucking guy. Even I don't talk about lifts. Like, that's what I'll give anyone a lift. Like, a lift, I can't do many favours for people, because I'm fucking useless at everything, right? But a lift is the easiest favour that anyone can do for anyone. Like my old man, again, waiting outside the exam, he would take her to get her nails done and wait outside the shop while she's in the shop getting her nails done, like, and sit there with no book, maybe radio, phone on, you know what I mean? But no book, no phone. And just sit there waiting and be happy, like. You know what I mean?
This Ratting in Rutland.
Well, this DVD collection. We've already known about the classics. So we got Strictly Ferreting.
Lurchomania.
Rabbiting Just Some of the Methods.
That one always takes on
these are the DVD. These are the DVDs in my old man's DVD collection. Like. So we got Lurchomania, which sounds like, if you remember, that's up there with, remember the sex shop in Lorette de Mar? Pregnant women and bull mastiffs. And so like Lurchomania, Rabbiting Just Some of the Methods, Strictly Ferreting. These all sound like porn films with animals. What's it with? Necrophilia, is it? Or is that what it's called? Sister? Bestiality. And then the new one that has just come up now, I just pulled out. What the fuck is that? I've never seen this before. Ratting in Rutland with Andy Swallow. You know what I mean? So like, but obviously you don't have to buy the videos now because Ratting is on YouTube. Like, he got like 49 hours of YouTube fucking Ratting videos. Because now it's a thing, isn't it? You know, with the modern day now, whereas before we'd have to record it on a camcorder, put it on DVD, Countryman's Weekly, they'd sell them in for £10, £12.99 postage and packet. Now, people film themselves fishing, hunting, rabbiting, and put it on YouTube.
It's probably loads on Instagram, is it? I never considered it.
Like, it don't come up on my Instagram for you page. Is full of fucking a samurai in a bikini, Stone Island jackets, you know what I mean? But no ferreting videos have come up. But it's only a matter of time because me and Tilly's going to Ibiza in the summer. She said, oh, we got to stay in San Antonio.
I'm going to Ibiza as well.
Huh?
I'm going to Ibiza as well.
Imagine that. AIC's beat up, like, brilliant. And all of a sudden, I'm having loads of San Antonio pages on my Instagram. Scary, like, I've never had any of these adverts before. And they fucking turned up out of the fucking blue. Fucking party, mate. You know what I mean?
The one thing I'll say, we can make a funeral good.
Right.
So I know, obviously, because it was delayed over Christmas, same thing happened with my grandfather, same thing happened with my grandmother when they died. It gets delayed slightly because Christmas.
Of course it
and everything. So it was only last week, hence why we hadn't been back sooner. But look, what a turnout.
Well,
I'm not going to mention any names when I say this, but when you've got, I was in the pub, I was in the mall at 1:30 in the morning with two boys still in Royal Mail uniform. We were sick the next day.
We both turned up to work 10 o'clock in the morning, but we started 6 o'clock. You know what I mean? That's up there with I was lucky my boss was a mate of mine. We went to the bunkhouse with the pastor, you know what I mean? And I never do this, but I had a fucking message off my boss, Pad, where are you? Half 7 in the morning. I messaged him back, off me head in the bunkhouse, Kaffa! Brilliant. But, yeah, listen, we have said from day one, yeah. Funerals.
Probably one of the best.
Proper funerals.
Are the best days.
Are the best days.
Because what's the mad thing as well, and I've had this conversation at the last few big funerals I've been to, and it's sort of like, one of the few occasions where everyone does get together now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, we were all there as a gang of mates. No one missed it. Fucking work was out the fucking window for everyone. Yeah, yeah. I mean, everybody was there. And then, obviously, not everyone can stay. The minute I knew about it, I booked the next day off work. So, I could
stay.
I could, you know? And then, you could see as the day was going on, for argument's sake, Martyrs Lovell, my boy and his boy play football again. And I had said to him, I said, is there any chance you can take my football training Tuesday? He said, yeah, I'll be there in the afternoon. I'll take him training. Next thing, I'm looking at him. It's about fucking 7:30 at night. Man, we're supposed to take kids training. He's like, Ellen's doing it.
He's lined up
And it was just, that's the type of day it was. Everyone sort of got in there with good intentions. Or I'd have a couple now and go on for tea. And then before we knew it, the gatehouse was still bouncing. Fucking 10 o'clock. It was fucking crazy.
Don't worry, right? I'm an only child. Well, I didn't know many people, right? And I do think, fuck. And funerals are different now than back when we was younger, wasn't it? Back when we was younger, we just booked 2 days off.
Yeah.
I do it. Now, companies won't give you days off for funeral unless it's in fucking close relatives, which I get. Times have changed, So I do think, fuck. There's a couple there, you know what I mean? And you can't really see when you're driving up in the car. I tell you what nice touches. Years ago, you had to be in black tie, but now people come straight from work. So when you see a quite a good through Royal Mail, it was like Pinal.
Yeah, they all came down with us.
Pinal, they lined the street, fucking lovely touch, hundreds of postmen, fucking incredible. And when you see a load of Royal Mail, fucking Don started crying in the back, it's nice, nice touch, people from work made the effort, so you can never see how many's there, because you don't really want to catch anyone's eye, But people have said, but it was like it couldn't have gone any better. Like I said, can't be many funerals. So Gilmore said to me, "I Cobbley isn't well." Right. So this is just standard Cobbley. Standard Cobbley. So it's my old man's funeral, and Cobbley made a new game. So the game is called Cock or Cock, right? Which is Cobbley all the way through. Bear in mind, this is the boy who says, I'm like I used to be, you know what I mean? I think he's got worse, right? He's just out less. Cock or cock. This is in my old man's funeral, right? So the premise of the game is, you've got to close your eyes and hold your right hand out.
Yeah.
And Cobbley will put something in your hand.
Right.
And it's either a cock or something that can be cocked. Right? So, cock or cock, right? Out of the 10 attempts, 7 was cock, right?
I bet it
was. Like 2 sausages and 1 profiterole, right? You know what I mean? So, good game, you know what I mean? Great for the fucking food. Funeral food, fuck it, listen, I love funeral food. Sometimes, the funeral food's so good, I forget who died, right? I love funeral food, it's fucking great, fucking proper old school fucking wick. That's the only way I can describe it. I was fucking, I was well at good day. No, fuck it, I'll say it. Good day.
Yeah.
I enjoyed good day, seeing all my friends, good fucking day.
It was a proper celebration of life.
Yes, I agree, which is what they should be like.
Yeah.
Do you see the footage of Shane McGowan's funeral?
Oh, no, I haven't, no.
Oh, get that up on Twitter.
Is he?
It'll come up, right? So the end of church, and he starts singing. Fairy Tale New York. Girls singing it. Everyone goes up on the altar. I was going to say stage. Everyone walks up on the altar. His kids, they all arm in arm, singing it. Proper goosebumps. It got me thinking then of, it's the fucking best one I've ever been to, Wally Poppins' funeral. If ever there was a funeral fit for a human being, it was that. If you remember, everyone was in a circle, singing Fields of Arth and Rye, fucking doing the okey corky, you know what I mean? Chucking pint glasses in the air, catching them. I think Joanne Portman filmed it from above.
Oh, it was mental.
It was fucking party.
Yeah, it was absolutely crazy. That was a wild moment that you had to be there to understand like how crazy it was. I didn't even know how that started.
Yes.
It just like cleared the room. It was just us in there fucking singing like about Wally Parton.
Brilliant. Absolutely fucking unbelievable. Had a couple of trevs. So people think we make this shit up to me, right?
Yeah, I can trust me. Bear in mind though, what you're about to tell me, I'm sure I don't know.
No, it's two things. One is way worse than the other, but the second one is the one that I said to you, when I tell you about it, you fucking not gonna believe it. So in the hospital, I was going up, Bushby gave me Carl Frampton's all the way on Creek.
Right.
Brilliant, by the way. McGuigan's nasty. People, oh my God, fathers.
I think they had the front to have a go at the Kinnans and
everything. Oh, wow.
McGuigan's a crook.
Barry McGuigan's a total crook, right? But we'll talk about that another time. But Bushby lent me Frampton's book, but it didn't have the cover on, right? So it's just a black book, right? So I've gone up the hospital. I think it was after a funeral that we went, I can't remember whose funeral it was, right? But I was in black trousers, white shirt, black jacket, and I'm walking through with this fucking book, right? So an old man, an old woman come up to me thinking, right? Because it's midnight.
Yeah.
And they think I'm going to give the last rites
to somebody.
To somebody, right? The man, that, and I'm trying to explain, no, didn't speak, he was a bit old, like his brother was ill, right? He asks me to come and say a prayer to his brother, right? So I try to tell him, look, I'm not, the problem I did, I said, I am Catholic, but I'm not a preacher. Like. But when I said I am Catholic, he took that as, I'm a man of the court, so I am Catholic, but I'm not a fucking, you know. But he's thinking I'm walking around with a fucking Gideon's Bible, right? So I goes in with his fella's brother, and I got to go and have a chat with him now, and he leaves me with him, like, you know. They think I'm talking about fucking God. I was telling about Liverpool played Arsenal the night before and that, but I was sitting there going, I've tried telling them I'm not a fucking man of the cloth. You know what I mean? But, you know what I mean? You know, I fucked all up the ass the night before. You know what I mean? And that's not spotlight. That's not little children. That's fully grown women. And now all of a sudden, I'm issuing the last rites to fucking some guy from Gendros. Hell of a mess, right? Hell of a fucking mess. But these two old people, at least they give them a little bit of comfort, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's in the hospital. So, my mother, her ashes were in the garden up the back under a rose tree, right?
Right.
So, they want to be put together. My mum wants to go Three Cliffs or Ross Hilly, whatever, and spread, you all said spread together, like whatever, right? So, I got to get my mother up now. Funeral director's phone, so we need your mother's ashes, like, right, brilliant, okay. So, it goes up my old man's, wettest day of the year. Now, my old man's garden isn't slabbed because he grew everything. Like, he grows runner beans, he grows fucking carrots, he grows strawberries. So it's like a plot. It's like an allotment plot. Like, but I know my mother is somewhere underneath this fucking tree. Like, so I'm there, fucking covered head to toe in mud, right? Because it's pissing down, right? Not getting nowhere. It's cold. Cuts the tree with a saw, chucks the tree. Digging. Bang, got it, gotta be it, can't be fuck all us. It's a big rock, fuck, no good to me, right. Digging, bang, got it, right. Sweeps away the soil, all that, it's quite deep. Black bag, brilliant. Picks it up, black bag comes apart, it's 25 years old, isn't it, right? Yeah. Digs around it, grabs the urn, pulls it, splits in half, I got half an urn in my hand and half an urn in the fucking ground, right? With my mother's ashes everywhere, right? I start crying, right? I broke it. Mum, I broke it. Crying. Phone's daughter. I'm in hell of a fucking mess. Yeah, I'll be up, you know, right? So it's raining and my mother's ashes are in the fucking ground, stuck in the ground, right? So he grabs a fucking lasagna dish, right? Goes up there. Gets a trowel, starts scooping my mother in this lasagna dish, right? too much
for the lasagna. Going on.
Too much for the lasagna dish.
Goes this is like something that would be on Gen
yes,
in the body.
This is right. Goes up, gets another bowl, scoops the rest of my mother into this fucking bowl, right? Puts it there now. So I'm like, right, I got to get this now into some cylindrical object to get up to the funeral directors, right? Maybe I wasn't thinking straight, right? But boy, I was a biscuit tin, right? So I thought, right, I'll put it in the biscuit tin. Obviously, take the biscuits out. Put it in the biscuit tin. I'll take it in the biscuit tin up to the funeral directors. Like, Donna comes up and goes, why are you doing this on your own? Very harrowing. I said, right, man, I put my mother in the biscuit tin. She went, for the start, you are not putting your mother in a biscuit tin, right? So she went upstairs, got like a flower pot, right, lovely. So we got to get my mother into that, like, so we scoop in. So I started using a spoon.
Right.
And Donna went, are you using a spoon, mind? And I went, oh, don't worry, it'll be there, you know. Bits going on at hand, like Donna's just looking at it, like going, ashes on her fucking hand, puts it down. Then I start tapping it down, knows if I was making a cake, right? I'm like patting it down for the, I don't know whether my head's gone or what, but are we tapping it down? Is that really what we're doing now? I don't think there's any need to tap it. Donna, right? She starts saying the Lord's Prayer, right? She starts saying Our Father. I'm like, really? Are we really gonna say prayers now? Because I'm not really fussed on this shit, like, and all that. Ends up getting in a flower pot, taking it up there. The most harrowing day, I'd say, of my life. I can't remember. Maybe when Tilly broke her nose in a telly down Shannon's and she had her surgery. But take that away, the most harrowing day of my life. Fucking, I had to leave half the urine there. You know what I mean? You just couldn't get it up. Fucking stressful is not the word. Like, fucking crazy. Mad. Honestly, the biscuit tin, the tapping it down, you know what I mean? It was just, when Donna started saying, fucking Our Father, I thought, nah, this is fucking like Phoenix Nights. Absolutely fucking ridiculous. Fucking crazy. But that's all, that's my fucking month anyway, like, you know what I mean? Thank you for everything you've done as well. You've been very good messaging, fucking, obviously,
well, carrying your man. Well, obviously, we made this fucking, yeah. And obviously, I know... Your old man was always a character to me. I said to you, then when I was messing back and forth on the phone, your old girl saved me from a lot of shit off your old
man. Oh, yeah.
When I used to come over, I didn't even really think much about it. And I'd just sit down on a settee, but I can get comfortable.
You make yourself comfortable, yeah.
I make myself comfortable, and the lounger's here again. The lounger.
Yeah.
Matt and your old girl would be going, leave him alone, Steve.
Yeah.
Your girl cut me tea once. She didn't even cut you tea.
Not a tea. Unbelievable, isn't it? Fucking hell.
And obviously, knowing him as long as I know him, you know, and obviously not see him now like I used to see him or whatever, but every time I ever seen your old man, because I deliver around your old man and see him, and
yeah.
He's still Steve, do you know what I mean? He's fucking, he's never changed, but look, at least you get to a point, and obviously you won't be there yet, and over this whole period, what's happened with your dad has reminded me a lot about my bam. You know?
Yeah, we
were very close, like, you know. And obviously, it's the anniversary of his death, was Christmas Eve. And I was with my nan yesterday, actually talking to him about him. And me and my nan sat there, it's my nan's birthday today, so me and my nan sat there for about an hour and a half. Just me and my nan, no one else. The kids went with us because I went straight after work. And we were just talking about my bam and just laughing about crazy things he did, because my bank was
still living in Sarah. She still living in
Sarah. She don't live in Skye now, she lives in Cosyman. So, you know, he was like your old man, you know what I mean? Because he was from a farm, you know, he was a farm boy, dogs, had dogs all his life, hunted, did all that shit,
you know what I mean?
Until he came to the UK, and then he was obviously a bit more, he was feral when he was in the island, like, really? You know what I mean? Obviously, when he moved over here, he was working and whatever, but he had wild stories, and we were just sitting there just laughing about it. So, I think it was like 5 years or 6 years his anniversary was Christmas Eve. So it's like you get to that point then where you just, well, we're doing it now thinking about nice memories about your old man, you know, but you do get there in the end, because for the earliest period, it's hard to.
Yeah.
It's hard to fucking.
Like you spoke on, I'm very like cold when it comes to death, like, you know. And listen, my mother and father, it's not natural being new kids, is it? You know, and both of them didn't have to do that, you know, thank God, like, you know, but I'm very much, you've got to think of what you've had, You know what I mean? Like, the fucking worst for me would be telly, and if anything ever happened to telly. But I think you've got to say, well, we've had 18 years, we couldn't have done any more for that kid. You know what I mean? We tried to give her, you know, rich, like, you know, but whatever we got, we would give to her, like, you know what I mean? And put ourselves second to her. I think as long as you can look back and say that, you've got to look at the memories you've had, like the good times, like, you know what I mean? Otherwise, death can be a bad thing and put you in a bad place. Like, not everyone's like me, like, you know what I mean? People really suffer, like, people lose someone and can go into a dark fucking place, like, so am I to say, come on, snap out, if I like, because not everyone's like me, like, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I can see how people can, easily go the other way and fucking be really, really affected by parents' deaths and yeah, fucking could be hard for a lot of people, like, you know.
Ah, well, rest in peace, Stephen Kells.
Yeah. Get out the most important things now. Like I said, do see the darts.
Oh, man, darts
are amazing. Fucking hell. Darts are got to be the only fucking, it's the only sport in the world where anyone can criticise. Like, you've got it, 3 perfect darts, right? And then 6 more perfect darts, but then 1 not so perfect darts, and a guy dressed as a banana is called Luke Hunt. That's not a fucking normal sport, is it?
It was
brilliant. What a story.
It was brilliant. Like. It was brilliant. Like, I didn't know about the 16-year-old. I missed the first game that he played, but that's all I heard about the next day was Tina and the two going, you should have seen a 16-year-old boy, blah, blah, blah.
It didn't matter, all our birds are into as well. Oh, it's one of the only things me and Donna sits down and gets fucking excited about it.
And so I watched every one of his matches then, because luckily they kept him on early, didn't they?
They did.
Fucking exhausted, Chris. Yeah. So I can watch the first game, maybe the second game.
Don't forget, he goes on to 11 o'clock.
There's no chance I'm getting that fucking late. I was having tactical sleeps in the afternoon so I can watch a dance in the night. You know what I mean? Go to Tina, like, don't wake me up, I'm going to bed for 2 hours so I can watch a dance.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? But no, it's fucking brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant, isn't it?
And all the, so on a Thursday night, you have Premier League darts. Is it like that?
Well, like I say, me and I went to it, in the last January before. And yes, for crowd and that, but obviously the World Championships, whatever it is about the World Championships, because darts is on all the time.
Yes.
And it's on multiple channels. On Sky. You've got the Premier League darts is on Thursday night. You've got tournaments ITV4 got a lot of coverage. They got big tournaments, the Masters and all these other big ranking tournaments. But you don't really, if I get it on, I'll go, oh fuck, nice, a bit of darts on and we'll watch it. But it's not like the darts, World Championships, you're cancelling everything.
Darts is Christmas.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, Christmas New Year is the darts. You know, like, we darts on tonight. No, my missus is like some fucking random Dutch guy's on at 7.
Yeah.
Make sure we're warm, like, you know what I mean?
They have a day off, we film it. They're like, fuck, what's going on?
Oh, that goes, they has like a Tuesday off. We're like, lazy cunts. You're only walking up, innit? Can't handle some of the walk-on music. Why would they start dancing on stage? You've got to behave, Trev.
Yeah. You know it's very, I don't think anyone's got, there's not one bit of cool music.
No.
They're all really cheesy. Yes. But that's what I love about it, actually. Yeah. No one's trying to be
a
40-stone guy with sunglasses on trying to be too cool. Like,
is it taught to her in dart school to look left, like?
Because
dart school, like, don't forget, look left. You know what I mean?
Maybe, but they'd, that kid, that Luke Littler, fair play. At first you think, oh, is it, I didn't watch his first game, but he averaged like 103. But I know enough about darts, so if you're averaging 103, you must be decent. And I watched his second game, which he won comfortably 3-0, and he averaged about 99.98 or something, just under 100. And I was like, he's fucking good, this kid. And then he kept getting better.
I was like,
he won't fucking beat
Barnabout.
Steamrolled him.
Yeah.
He won't, oh, that fucking, he won't be that guy. He won't be Rob Cross. Steamrolls him, basically, you know. Yeah. And you're going, well, he is legitimate. And had it not been for the missed, people said about the missed double three it was.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Which would have put him 4-1 up.
Yeah, yeah.
There was the 18, he had the treble 18 instead of the single 18 before that. That's what fucked him up, was that dart. And he never recovered, and Humphreys got going, and look, it was a hell of a fucking fight, you know. He'll win it. There's no doubt of that. If he was that good at 16 years of fucking age, as long as he didn't go off the rails, now guess 300 grand turns into Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, exactly. Already he's having shit because his bird's 21. Now, come on, leave the kid. They ever, the papers love to slate people.
She's dance playing as well or something, is she?
Is she really? Yeah.
So it's not like, well, maybe she saw that going on, there's a couple of dollar signs this kid there. Like,
and then, I'll wait, you too, man. Loads of darts documentaries were coming up. Like, have you seen the documentaries about how they went from
the video? No.
Fucking good. Like, Phil Taylor, he's a bit of a prick, mate.
He's a prick, yeah.
Oh, my God, he's a fucking puller. So they had, like the legends, like
I heard about it, yeah.
And so they had them all, and they had
couldn't bring myself to watch it then. Once I knew about it, I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
Being interviewers like me and you, I was going to say, I'd fucking be a pad, be fucking postman, and fucking tell you know this. Me and you have done some Q&As, have we?
Right.
So it was a Q&A with all the fucking legends of darts, like. So the guy doing the questions, even anyone can see that he's starting the questions to build up how they went from the BDO to the PDC, whatever, right? And so he's just started. So Phil Taylor and Cole Keith Deller are the first people on, like, because he was at that time. So he went, great to be here, like, you know what I mean? The story again, you know, as well. And Phil Taylor went, yeah, but you do know, without me and him, there would be none of this. And he went, yeah, I'm going to get on to that. No, the guy was going to build up, saying, oh, what was it like? Like, it's fucking blatantly obvious that he started to say, right, what was it like in the video? How did this happen? Like, and he had questions. And Phil Taylor just goes off on one going, yeah, but if it was one for me and him, it wouldn't be here, no? And he went, we put 20 grand of our own money, right? We went to a meeting. We done that. So before he goes on, without us, we won't be here. And I'm thinking, you've just killed his interview by being a fucking proper nose, like.
Yeah.
And, And then it got me thinking then, Phil Taylor's the greatest dance player ever. He's not in any of the comedy. He's not in the studio. Because he's a fucking ball bag, like. He's a fucking dipstick, like.
I saw an interview with Michael Van Gerwen. Just happened to come across, again, across my YouTube. Michael Van Gerwen, something about Phil Taylor. And he said the same thing. Phil Taylor got to a point where, obviously, Van Gerwen was Luke Littler before Luke Littler.
Of course, yeah.
And he wasn't quite as young, I don't think, but he was a fucking prez when he was young. It was quite obvious he was fucking super talented. And I don't think Taylor liked him.
Of course,
and they just had issues. But he told stories about Phil Taylor doing this, and he was arsey to that. And he just was a bit of a prick.
Prick.
What I mean? And it's sad because I was, you know, I loved the World Championship darts for fucking years.
Even when Bobby George was on BBC.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he used to be on the BBC in January.
Yeah. So, like, I remember seeing Phil Taylor win tests. And you can't take it away. Phil Taylor, sometimes he was just so good.
Yeah.
He would just blow people away. I remember when Van Barneveld came over from the BDO, and that was the big rivalry, all that stuff. Yeah. Rivalry with Dennis Priestley, Dennis the Menace Priestley, if you remember. He had arguments with people. Well, listen, and he's all part of the character, but he was always so good. You were just like, fuck, this guy is fucking unbelievable. And then it's only when he sort of got a bit older, and I saw interviews with him, there's one, it's been on YouTube loads recently, is when he has a go-away model in the studio.
Go on.
He has a, he's playing Kevin Painter. And I don't think they have words on the stage, but there was some sort of issue there, and Mardell brings it up, you know, and like, because that's what he's meant to
job
do.
Is,
you
know, like, yeah,
he's,
yeah.
He's in the studio, and Phil Taylor cuts him off and goes, look, Wayne, you shouldn't even be bringing that up to me. You know what he's like. This is out of order you bring. And he was like completely like flew off the handle.
Yeah,
with
for no reason.
Yeah, and I think that was just the fucking type of bloke he was. Yeah. Like you said, he didn't have the personality of to carry a job like Wayne Mardell does. Mm. Wayne Mardell was never as good a darts player as Phil Taylor.
Yeah.
Never.
But he's better than
Stephen. But he's much better than if I can stay behind on a commentary, so that's why they have it.
Don't know what's a mad it's in a similar way, only not down to being nasty, just personality not suiting, is Carl Zaghi and boxing. Like, Carl Zaghi should be in the studio for every fucking box fight. He's Britain's greatest ever fighter. Mm. But he just hadn't gone all crossed over.
I wonder, I've never really seen anything of, or heard anything of Joe Carl Zaghi being a prick.
No, far from it. Far he's just quiet. I like, yeah.
I just think he's more within himself.
Yeah.
His personality. You need to be a bit more outgoing. if he chose to do it, I'm sure, because I've seen interviews with Joe Calzaghe in the NFL, he's always a good listen, like, just not what he chooses to do, like, you know. But no, yeah, the darts is fucking amazing, and like you say, the standard, sometimes you watch it, you can't fucking just, anyone think, oh, if you've never thrown a dart in your life, go, that's not hard. Fucking hell it is.
We me and Mason, my nephew was playing in the naval, New Year's Eve. I loved it, by the way, fucking great. I had a day in Riley's on my own. I went to Riley's one afternoon, 12 o'clock.
Because I bumped into the Ross Brown and
I think they thought I was right weirdo, to be honest. So, like, we had a game of darts New Year's Eve. Brilliant. Loved it. Double ones everywhere. Fucking party. Solid fucking game. Those are golf, but still. So, Riley's was... I had my head on... I wanted to get in pool, like. You know, I was off work. I just went down Riley's, 12 o'clock. This is where... Quiet game of pool on a Tuesday afternoon. Fucking hell. Joe Lewis. Yeah. Ross Brown. All the fucking Globers down there. Fucking party. Yeah. I'm there on my own. Playing on my own. I still fucking lost 3-1. So I'm saying, this is where computers and cash is king comes in. 12 o'clock in the afternoon, computers were down, couldn't take card payments, right? Okay, no worries, there's a 10, I'll go on. Oh, no. The tables are linked to the till, and you can't pay cash on the till. Not kidding you, there's 23 people waked in.
Right.
Can't do fuck all, because he couldn't fucking work his till. Oh, fucking, if it was cash, we could have all just gone out of game.
Yeah, yeah.
But I left it. Like fucking 2 hours on my own playing pool.
Yeah.
Darts boards there. Big tellies everywhere. So the darts was on the tellies. No day in Riley's, like then he said, go down there 12. There's football on. Brilliant.
We used to do quite a bit when he was younger, but I haven't been inside Riley's easy 20 years, if not longer than that. Like, do you know what I mean? I used to love it. We score all the time.
Yeah. Good set of mine.
Yeah.
Really smart. Like I said, tellies everywhere, darts boards, pools. Snooker, I like to game snooker, but it's a bit fucking hard, isn't it?
It's hard, snooker, isn't it?
Yeah, pool, we know where we are.
Fucking argument.
Have you ever seen, the greatest leg ever last year?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Italian commentary?
No.
fucking hell. No, you love Italian stuff on here, right? Get on Twitter and have a look, right? Three guys in the studio. Should see how animated they are with everyone. Mila bella, Dina Bonetti. Fucking type it in, lock it up. Italian commentary, 180. Fucking brilliant. Well, how's Christmas anyway?
Well, obviously, before we get to that, I went to CBC.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah.
Right, so obviously, after the last podcast we did it on the Tuesday.
Yeah, we took a full mob as well, didn't we? Just got it.
Right, and obviously CBC was on a Wednesday because we talked about it there, and CBC, and mate, what a fucking day. Honestly, it was brilliant, right?
Right, so go on.
I'd managed to get the Thursday off work, which at Christmas time is unusual.
That's fucking brilliant, go on.
But, look, I managed to get it on. So, we got on a train, and...
what time?
Mid-afternoon, half three.
Lovely. Christmas in Cardiff.
Christmas in...
Bouncing.
So, he comes out the train station. I'd never been in a tram shed before, right? So, I didn't know where it was. So, I'm following Nick. And he said, come on, there's this cracking pub over here. We go out, there's a cracking pub over here. Great jukebox. We'll have a couple of pints.
Oh, this sounds perfect.
So, we walk in, over we go. And sits down. It's like... A right picture is like old, proper old school boozer pub.
Brilliant.
Perfect for us, right? Old men in there fucking with a bat on. People playing pool over there. Four of us, I think four or five of us sat by the jukebox, that's it, right? Having a fucking pint. Good beer in there, pints. Money in a jukebox. Well, we didn't even put money in the jukebox. Nick worked out some way of getting free tunes on the jukebox.
Sometimes we knew the reels.
We had about 96 songs to pick, right?
Brilliant.
We were just doing... One, we were going around picking a song. It was fucking... So we sat there for hours, right, drinking. And it was weird watching the crowd, right, change. So, like, when we got there, like, let's say it was 4 o'clock, there was, like, the old men, old school boozer.
Just come in from
work type of drinkers, right? And just after that, there was, like, loads of Christmas jumpers and all this type of thing, right? But I didn't realise when we first got in. Cardiff were on that night.
Oh, fuck.
Right?
Right.
So a little bit later on, it got full of football boys in there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I hope no Ken Clark's wrestler in Swansea.
Swansea CBC fan club.
Oh, yeah. Got it. So, look, we had a fucking ball, right? I had not done chocolate mushrooms before. Let's just put that out there.
Okay. Right?
And a chocolate mushroom may have fell in my direction,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I hadn't had chocolate for about fucking 8 weeks at this point. It was one of the tastiest things I'd had.
Really?
All year. Yeah. Chocolate mushrooms in. Not sure how this is going to go. Let's head to the gig. So we turns up in, fucking the tram shed, which was about fucking, I don't know, 7-8 minutes walk, I think, from where we were. And it's just like it's a big gig. It's not a big gig venue, but it's a nice size gig venue. A couple of thousand people, I think. There's some Welsh grime act on. Right?
Before CBC.
Before CBC. Right. Now, I'm not expecting this.
Yeah.
Because
obviously,
CBC are what would we consider a
psychedelic rock,
alt rock, folk rock type of band. And we've got, I don't know, some guy with a Cardiff accent, white as it gets.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get it, but it was funny. Like, we was laughing.
White grime acts.
White grime acts.
They remind me of like Muslim converts, isn't it? Why are all Muslim, white Muslim converts ginger? Fucking weird.
So anyway, look, we've obviously been waiting a long time myself. You'd seen CBC.
Brilliant.
We'd missed the bunkhouse one, which we talked about enough times.
One of our biggest regrets. But we made up for it.
Made up for it.
Bit disappointed that the gig I saw was like a festival where they were like just the headline act, not an actual CBC gig, which I'm sure we'll get. Would we go see him again?
100%, yeah, yeah.
So, what was your opinion?
Oh, I loved it. Really? I loved it. Don't get me wrong, I was tripping my head off for a large part of it. I could have been anywhere in the world, but look, they're very good, right? Every single person in there was into it. So, like, you know, so you got like, oh, I don't know however many people was in there, whatever it is, 1,500 or whatever. It was fucking bouncing. There were so many people from Swansea there. It was fucking
really
great. Yeah, it was great. There was, saw loads of people up there. Brilliant gig. They did, the problem is because CBC haven't got like a massive cackle.
Of course, yeah.
They gotta do covers, haven't they? So the cover of Mojo's Lady has been out for a while, right? Which is a fucking fantastic cover. But they did a cover of Fight for Your Right to Party.
Right,
The Beastie Boys, obviously. And it was absolutely fucking brilliant. It's probably the highlight of the night, actually.
Yeah,
it was fucking, the whole place was going fucking mad. It was a brilliant gig. We left then, and I was still fucking off my bin. And then Sniffer was driving because he drove up late, and he brought us home.
Right.
Carpool karaoke all the
way. Who was in the car?
Me, Wayne, Denty, and Nick. And we fucking carpool karaoke.
Brilliant.
It was brilliant. Like, all it was laugh. Just fucking laughed all the way home. It was just one of them nights. Like, I woke up the next morning, smiling, just laughing, going, fuck yes, dude.
Brilliant.
Brilliant, like, do you know what I mean? It was, I think, like, you know, maybe not as iconic as we feel at that bunkhouse
game,
you know what I mean? But that's because we'd have been home at that one, you know what I mean? But, look, they fucking brilliant. They're very, very fucking
good band.
You know, they're going to fucking go on and hopefully do fucking bigger and better things. Like, do you know what I mean? They're going the right way about it anyway. Do you know what I mean? They're selling out all over the fucking place.
Brilliant.
So hopefully they'll be back.
Hopefully coming on,
Hopefully coming. Well, yeah, we're going to work on that. And hopefully get them back at the newly refurbished bunkers.
Yeah.
Soon.
Wow.
Yes.
Fucking hell. I couldn't get my fucking, my bed.
At first, it took me a little while.
So, the fuck, mate, it looks really, really, really fucking nice. Though the first thing Telly said, though,
where's
the dance floor going to go? You know what I mean? Them fucking tables with the lamps can fuck off when Will comes on. You know what I mean? Playing fucking Shades of Rhythm. But yeah, it looks really smart. Hell of a turnaround.
So Jordan put up a time-lapse video.
Jordan's fucking genius, isn't he?
Of him knocking the bar down last week. Yeah. So I just sat there like a nerd, fascinated by watching this time-lapse video of him demolishing the bar, you know, and then taking down the wall of like a store. Must be there's the room behind the bar and stuff.
It's just a lot bigger though.
It seems to be that way. Yeah. Like, obviously, I think we'd walk in there and be like, what the fuck?
Because
I think the bar's moved.
I like the bar, mate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I look, it's fucking, it's great. It's looking forward to seeing, like I said, we're going to talk about, there's a number of bands, local bands that I want to see. I want to see the Straight Pursuit. I want to see Subterranean.
Yeah, we're coming on. Yeah.
I want to see the Fiends.
All three of them will be on here over the next couple of months.
I'm hoping that I can see them before they come on here, because I want to do it justice, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I totally get it. Well, we'll do that and we'll arrange, we'll find out where they all fucking playing.
Well, like, Subterranean are fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
And I know the Straight Pursuit are doing, because I've seen on their social media, they got their first headline tour coming up, and they're round Wales, but they're not in Swansea, so I'm hoping they're just going to announce a Bunkhouse gig.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Subterranea, I've got a big one up in Cardiff, and there's a reason why I can't go. I think I'm away. But you know this feeling, have you seen that?
It's a club night from London. It's been going fucking 20 years now. Right. But it was always like, so when Gordon Smart, the son, the journalist, was editing Bizarre, remember the showbiz column, and he would do like a review of This Feeling every week.
Right.
Bands like The Twang, you know what I mean? I think Libertines went to play there years ago. But, you know, hot new bands like, and This Feeling have been doing nights that these bands are playing on.
Like. Yeah. So like, it's they're three top my guests I want to go and see when I get chance.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it'd be easier for me if they were in a Bunkhouse, like they say one in Cardiff. I think it's like on like a Thursday as well. It's going to make it a bit fucking awkward for me. But we're looking forward to meeting those boys and seeing what they do, you know, fucking recording everything. Still waiting for the Pastel album. It's going to be soon, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be soon.
So they say there's loads coming up like that.
So we talk about the Bunkhouse. We'll go on, like, Heaven back open this weekend. A little fucking break. The kids' ribs.
No.
Massive. Not my fucking brilliant. No way.
So my brother-in-law and his missus took my niece. She's only a baby. You know, she's fucking one, like, and they took her.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I think it's nice to introduce children to the Class A drugs at an early age.
Yeah.
Also, they are. Non-alcohol rave.
Right.
Do see the fucking publicity.
Unbelievable.
And
it was all on like...
Wheels Online, and fucking... It was everywhere, like... Listen. In this noncy age of dry January, which me and you were both dead against the wheel, like, you know, some of the Saints boys are not drinking for the first 75 days of the year, like, who've got to behave? Who've got to take a look in the mirror and realise where they're going wrong in life? Yeah. Like... Dry January is the worst fucking idea that I have ever heard. Like, you're taking, so if you like pub culture and nightclub culture and you want these places to survive, so not only are you hitting them with the quietest time of the year, you are also encouraging the country not to drink.
Mm.
What the fuck are you playing at? Like where's your comments at?
I said to you the other day, I'm up in my game in January. I'm the opposite. You know? I have dry December for the vast majority of it.
Because of work. So you were dry December, ain't gonna affect the pub trip.
No. So January, I'm kicking it into gear in January. Overdrive in February, you know what I mean?
Well, brilliant.
But no, like you said, I think it's just a thing, isn't it? You know, I'm going to have a few weeks off. Mate, I struggle to have a weekend off, so it ain't going to ever be something I'm ever going to be fucking involved in.
Yeah. The Lighthouse Skenderbig Refurb, all our sponsors, basically. Mm. Like, the Lighthouse Skenderbig Refurb, that'll be opening in February. So that'll be something special as well. One of the best fucking venues in fucking Swansea, what do you overlook? And we've seen that with Grillsy. Unbelievable. So that'll be opening in February sometime. We'll give you more details of the exact date closer there. Chile, smashing it.
Always.
1 minute he's in Lapland. Next minute he's fixing the boiler and H's from Steps Ups. He's just a random boy, isn't he? You know what I mean? He's just so fucking random. Chili will drink till March saying, it is Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is Christmas. But it's brilliant.
Speaking
all of our sponsors,
flying.
Well done, Chili. Well done, the Secret Hospitality Group. Greg and the boys at Evan and the Bunkhouse. Fucking flying.
Well, speaking of Chili.
Yeah.
He should listen because he'd be fascinated by what I watched on YouTube.
Right.
I got put onto this by fuck. Who fucking told me on Instagram?
Have a little look.
Right. Spotlight on the Troubles, A Secret History. Right? Right,
we talked about this, didn't we?
Right.
I love how, when he said speaking of Chile, I didn't know where we were going.
We didn't know where we were going. I get so many fucking messages, but I want to give a shout out because I've been chatting my phone, but my memory is fucking appalling. So I can't remember who it was.
We talked about the documentary on the BBC, didn't we?
Right.
And what was this, it called?
So that was Once Upon a Time in Northern Ireland, right? And this is that on fucking steroids, really? Right? I mean, literally, I've never seen anything so in-depth in this. It taught, like I say, that one, Once Upon a Time in Northern Ireland, is a fucking brilliant watch, right? But it's like a compact version of 30-odd years of the Troubles, like,
yeah, yeah. Right?
The Spotlight on the Troubles of Secret History is fucking bananas. And it is, it does not leave one single stone unturned. So there was like, you know, there's a lot of it that I knew of, or knew to a certain extent. Obviously, Bloody Sunday, and you know, all these, and all the sort of the more media ones that are still out there. Like, but like, there was a lot of stuff that I didn't even fucking know of. Like, so right, just go for it. I just made bullet points of this.
Yeah, I
could spend fucking 90 minutes just talking about this thing. It's fucking unbelievable. Like, I binged watched the fuck out of it, right? And so it's on YouTube. I think there's 8 episodes and they're ranging in an hour to hour and a half long.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Lord Mountbatten murder, right?
I didn't know about this, though.
So I knew about the Lord Mountbatten murder. I didn't realise how mental it was, though.
It's crackers, yeah. It's absolutely crackers.
They blew up his fucking boat.
With kids on the boat as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So the IRA blew up Lord Mountbatten's fucking boat.
Who was Charles's godfather, uncle, whatever.
Again, the details were. But then, this thing I didn't know. On the same day, they killed 18 soldiers.
No way.
Yeah, in like an explosion attack. That was on the same day. So, like I say, I can't explain everything about this because it's so fucking in-depth. I'd be doing all of it a disservice.
What was it called again?
Spotlight on the Troubles, A Secret History, right? So, there's a big part in it about how American money funded the improved arms for the IRA, right? So, obviously, there's a lot of Irish in America.
Yeah.
Plastic parties, all of that, to ourselves. In Boston and places like that.
Massive
area of Irish, New York, Boston, areas like that. And they bought arms from Libya, from Gaddafi, right? Because Gaddafi saw them as freedom fighters.
Same way
a lot of the Americans saw them as freedom fighters. And they didn't just like buy guns. They were buying like anti-tank weapons and shit. If you watch the footage, because they've got footage of the IRA walking around, all of a sudden they've got like fucking, you know, rocket propelled grenades and fucking, you know, like the snipe, 50 cal sniper.
That's an
like
Clint Dawkins. Like,
no, it's fucking mad. In America then, the IRA were gun running with Americans and they were linked to Whitey Bulger as well, obviously.
Which famous, is in the Black Mass and in all that. Yeah,
famous Boston gangster. It reminded me like, because when I used to go to Ireland when I was a kid, did you go to Ireland much when you was
a kid? No, when I was a kid, no. I went over to Dublin a lot with Jamie Harris was there and all that.
So I used to go with my grandfather and my grandmother.
Right,
when,
what part
then? When we were young. Well, we travel all over, so my grandpa would have a car, and more often than not, so we'd go over on a ferry, and this is what it reminded me of. So we'd go down to Fishguard.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd go Fishguard, Ross Lair. And we could have gone Swansea Cork, but what, apparently Swansea to Cork is a... It's not as nice as
it's out across.
It's right crossing, yeah. So we used to go Fishguard to Ross Lair anyway. And you'd go down, and I was only a kid, so it's hard to understand, isn't it? I didn't really have an understanding of the troubles. Yeah. My grandfather, as I mentioned in the past, he was from Mayo, so he's a West farm boy up from out there in the sticks, like, you know. Didn't really have any interest in the troubles, like, wasn't close to it. So we'd go over there to go to Ireland, and they'd stop you when they're going onto the ferry. You'd have like guys coming round with big mirrors, put them underneath your car.
Right, okay, yeah.
You know, you'd see cars getting searched and they'd be pulling shit out of the cars.
And fucking rightly fucking so.
Yeah. It was proper fucking heavy duty, like, you know. And I hadn't thought about that fucking for a long time. But, you know, see, those type of things happen. Like, I think I told a story on here before. I remember being down south, deep south somewhere, could be anywhere, like Coke or something like that. I'm going into a shop on my own. And I would have only been probably younger than Kian is now. And so like 10, 11 maybe. And paying for something in a shop. My grandfather was outside. And the woman behind the counter, like, making a funny eye at me, going, "Are you English?" I obviously I was, and my grandfather came in and grabbed me and they pulled me out. So now I can think back on that. I thought it was weird at the time, but I didn't have any frame of reference. Do you know what I mean? So there's that. There's a big section, right? Is it one episode? It's fucking the best one of the lot, probably, where they talk about like the spies, the agents, agents and stuff, like, you know. So the famous one was Steak Knife, wasn't it? So basically he was an informant inside the IRA. They've never been confirmed, but they're pretty sure it is a guy called Freddie Scapatici, who does not sound Irish at all.
Nice understated sounding guy, like.
But what was mental, and I didn't know this because I'd heard about Steak Knife before and I didn't know the story properly, and they do a good job of it in this, obviously. He was actually head of spy catching for the IRA.
He double bluffed the double bluffers. So genius.
That's how mental that is. It's like, you know,
imagine how dangerous that is.
That has got to be the most dangerous.
You get found, you were tortured.
You're tortured for weeks.
Yeah, tortured for days, like, you know. You ain't having an easy death there, like.
And I've read a number of books about the Troubles, and I read books about people working undercover over there. Grilsey gave me one years ago on a camera. It was this fucking brilliant read. Frightening. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They're always living as close to the edge as you can fucking live. That episode is amazing. There's a TV show waiting to be made just about the fucking Steak Knife thing, right? Yeah. Let alone, like... So when they started sending in the SAS in, the British Army, because obviously the British Army, for a large part, were sitting ducks over there with the IRA, you know what I mean? They were just fucking getting sniped in the streets and getting blown up and shit, and obviously Bloody Sunday.
Have you seen the film 71?
Yes.
Any good?
Enjoyed it. So they sent the SAS in. So the SAS in started actively hunting, so the IRA's, you know, brigades, as they call them.
All this is in this document.
It's fucking brilliant, right? So the most active unit, I think, at that time was called the Tyrone Brigade, from Count Tyrone. And basically, this is where they think Steak Knife might have set these fucking boys up. Like, they were going to go and hit the police station. Like, you know, out in the wild, something. But what they didn't know, they went down there, this Tyrone Brigade, like fucking 10 of them or whatever, fucking automatic weapons and that. And as they jumped out the fucking cars, they were ambushed by the SAS, who were already set up.
The kiddies, like,
he fucking killed all of them.
Really?
Yeah. And it's mad, though, like, this is how the story, I didn't realise this is how it starts to change, like. So the IRA pushed it to such a fucking point, so that they fucked it for themselves, because they were just like, right, fuck this now. So they all started banding together, like the RUC, the British Army, the UVA, UVF. Fucking, they all were like, an enemy of my enemy is my friend, like, do you know what I mean?
Ah, right, okay,
So they all started fucking helping each other out. And it started working against them. So, like, there's a big part about the formation of the UDA and the UVF, and, you know, that Michael Stone incident, he's throwing grenades
in the funeral, which is one of them. And the mad thing is, it's all on fucking camera, but the BBC, and these are the days before, like, mobile phones.
Yeah.
The BBC, they're fucking filming the fucking funeral.
So, like, you know, they're both sides then. The loyalists and the IRA, whichever one of the loyalists, because there's a number of different factions of that, so they're basically just tit-for-tat killings then. And the timeline of the whole series is just the deaths. So, like, it starts with, like, one death, doesn't it? And then it escalates, you know, like, it's thousands of deaths by the end of it. You know, when you're going through the years, right? It's fucking crazy. Because they were just blowing up shops.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a loyalist shop. We'll just blow that up. Oh, that's a fucking Catholic shop. We'll just blow that up. There's civilians outside, fucking 15 dead. You know, things like that.
Crazy.
Fucking carnage, right? And to think, like I say, I'd never been into that part of Ireland. I'd been to Dublin as I was a kid, probably about as far north as I went. You know, where I was, a large part, we were down, like, Wexford, Waterford, Cork, Galway, a place like that, over to Mayo a couple of times on the West Coast, and you may as well have been anywhere in the world. You were not part of that. You know, you were proper down south. It's mad to think that those people at that time that I was there were living that, you know, up north.
Yeah.
You know, obviously in Northern Ireland and anywhere around South Border in Northern Ireland. Just fucking crazy to think, like. You know, you've got the Shankill Butchers, they do a bit on that, which I've read a book about the Shankill Butchers, and they were fucking mental cases. But then when they started working together, this is what turned it. It seemingly turned everything around, because the IRA, they couldn't keep up, like. So what they started doing was...
Lacking in numbers, maybe.
Yeah, what they started doing was they started targeting IRA members' families, right? So you didn't have to actually be an active IRA member, but your name's Paddy Cullen, and two of your cousins are IRA members.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they come down here to murder you. They do it, right? And they're doing it on information supplied by the British Army, by the IRC. Yeah. So they were all in it together in cahoots. So obviously the British Army couldn't just come down and murder civilians.
Of course,
like,
yeah. But they can do, but they give you the information.
So they were trying to break the IRA mentally. And in a lot of ways, this is like right towards the end, in a lot of ways, that's what brought them to the table, was because they started to realise they were fighting a war they couldn't fucking win. And again, it goes through the whole political process then, you know, the growth of Sinn Féin, and obviously, you know, the sitting down and the Good Friday Agreement and, you know, everything that came after it. Honest to God, fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Like I say, it's brilliant, Once Upon a Time in Northern Ireland, but it's like condensed, you know? This one is like the fucking extended version. It's like there's the Vietnam War documentary that I talked about ages ago.
That's
on Prime. It was on Netflix. It's on Amazon Prime now. It's like the most extensive thing I've ever seen on a Vietnam War. And I think there's a couple of World War II ones that are on Netflix.
There's one new one on now.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I will do.
Dentley put me onto it. World War II.
On the front lines?
On the front line, in colour.
Yeah.
And fuck me. So like, we haven't spoken about Gaza and Israel, have we?
No.
Because it is one...
It's a touchy subject also as well, Sam.
Yeah, well...
I suppose it
is like with fucking every other war. Like, talk about a topic where if you've got one opinion and you're on one side, there's no one can see both. Like, surely you should be able to see both sides. What happened on October the 7th was fucking horrific. Anyone can see that that's horrific, innit? But also, like, if Putin did what Israel are doing to Gaza, they look like they're just trying to wipe the Palestinians in Gaza off the face of planet Earth. Both sides think they're in the fucking right, but fuck me, talk about what a minefield that is, like wiping out a city and its residents and its buildings off the face of the earth. Like, but Israelis seem to think that they justified because of what happened on October the 7th, but fucking hell.
Because of mass media in this country, a lot of it would be influenced towards favouring the Israelis a large part of the time. Obviously, we had Kieran Gibbon and we talked to him about that and being on the side of the Palestinians. You don't really see that side as much these days now with social media and with people not trusting mass media as much. You do see a different side of things.
You know
what I mean? Because I think previously you would have just gone, oh, these Hamas fuckers are just launching rockets into Israel again.
Like,
Oh, no, man, they've taken fucking another...
They've had last 60 years of this, you know.
Look, at this stage, nobody's in the right currently. It's just sort of, they've just been fighting for so fucking long. Like I say, I don't claim to be any sort of expert on it, but... You'd like them to just fucking turn it in, wouldn't you? Especially now, you see some things and like the bombing hospitals, the Israelis.
Well, I've seen the videos of the babies dying and the children fucking, and children in shell shock. You know, how can you not be made to feel emotional about seeing that? Like, fucking hell, no matter what side you're on. You know what I mean? But then go back on that World War II thing, right? We're the allies, aren't we? We're the fucking, We Are the Good Guys, like, see some of the stuff Churchill agreed to. Churchill was a cunt, like.
Right.
I remember he was going to send the army into Wales once because of striking miners or something.
Right.
Like, he hated the fucking Welsh. Churchill was a fucker, fought in the Boer War. You know what I mean? He's this ruthless cunt, like. What they did to Dresden.
Right? Oh, yeah, they bombed the fuck up.
They, that. Like, so we got Germans surrounded, but they just wouldn't give in, like. So he just wiped Dresden off the face of the fucking earth, like. And there's no second thoughts, like. So we done some fucked up stuff ourselves. America, we always talk about America, it's the worst country on the planet. 9/11, like. No Iraq, he was involved in 9/11.
No. Millions of them died.
No Afghanistan, he was involved in 9/11. We went over there and we fucking... Well, it's still going on now. Talk about, realistically, America lost our war, like, because they were fucking... They were all getting planes out 2 years ago, leaving all the people that helped us there. Fucking hell, what a waste of 20 fucking years.
Yeah, well, but when you look behind the scenes, it wasn't a waste of 20 years for the military industrial complex in America, who made billions and trillions of pounds selling weaponry to all sides, probably. Yeah. You know, so that's really what it's about. It's about the fucking money. Any of these wars, that's all it ever is about. It's about power or money. It's not about fucking what they show you on the news. Mm. Oh, hang on, yeah, we've got to stop Putin doing it. You know, if you look at it from Putin's side, Putin just said, look, we don't want the UN in Ukraine. We don't want UN countries bordering our country. That's all we're asking. You know, if you look at it from his point of view,
Oh,
fuck me. We told you not to go into Ukraine and you fucking went and done it anyway. So, again, there's two sides to every thing if you want to look at it that way. Like, I'm not claiming Putin's in the right either before someone called
Biden me. And Rishi Sunak. So, if you go on YouTube and look in, just look at the state of Chicago at the minute. There's a refugee crisis in Chicago. And, you know, people in Chicago are saying there's not enough resources for us. Schools, hospitals, accommodation. And yet we've taken in Africans, Mexicans, the city they call them, what they call, like, a welcoming city, Chicago. It's open borders. Mm. We welcome everyone, like. But the people living there going, are you fucking real? Like, we can't do it, like. Same as this country, like I told you before, my old man waited 20 hours for an ambulance. So we are in our own shit, like. So Biden and Rishi Sunak both pledging 2.8 or 2.6 billion each country to the Ukraine. When people are literally saying, I don't know, reading the fucking room, like, that is money that should be spent on the NHS.
They don't care because it's all corrupt as fuck and it's not really going to Ukraine. They're just fucking laundering money through criminal fucking enterprise.
There was a documentary on Trump on ITV and they went into all the states in America. That was where I saw the Chicago thing as well. They've gone into all the states to America and they're saying, why is Trump so far ahead, like? And they was going into black neighbourhoods, like, and the black people are saying, we all voted Biden. But he's made it worse, like. Like, Trump, when Trump was in, regardless what you think of him, employment was up, life was just a little bit better. Everything he promised, he dealt with. Trump tried to get immigration down, unemployment down, and in these black neighbourhoods, he was saying everything Biden promised, it's worse, like, you know, it's worse when Biden's in with Trump. And this reporter has really taken, he's really against Trump, if that makes sense. He's not unbiased at all. Like, he's trying to get him to say, you know, how can you like Trump? Like, what's, you know, but they're like, no, life was a little bit better when he was in charge, like, and we're going to vote for him again. Like, but they're trying to do every single thing they can
to discredit them.
Like, this reporter was saying, yeah, we got 91 charges against them. And all these people are saying, do you think we've done enough to believe these charges? You know what I mean? Why aren't these charges on every president? Why aren't these charges on Bush?
Yeah.
Clinton. You know what I mean? Biden. When you look at what Biden's son gets up to, like, and I know we shouldn't judge the sins of the father by the son and all that. You know what I mean? Since Drakeford's boy got done for being a fucking nonce. Like, Should you tar him with the same brush? Of course not. But fuck me. If your son's a fucking paedophile, you've got to have to sort of stay away from the public eye, do it. In my opinion, like, you hiding in the cupboard, like. And I seen an interview with Sammy the Bull Gravano.
Right.
Brilliant.
They tried to corrupt
They talked about Trump, and he would say Trump was incorruptible. Like, he said, all these big businesses, I had my hands in all of them. All the construction throughout New York in the 80s, I was involved somewhere. We had the mafia, the fingers everywhere, apart from Trump. We couldn't get near him. Like, he was incorruptible, was what he said. We couldn't get near him. We tried to get into him. He was just incorruptible. Like, that should tell you everything.
Yeah.
Sammy the Bull Gravano got no fucking dog in any fight. Like,
killed about 30 people.
Yes, you know what I mean? And he's telling you that this man was incorruptible.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, crazy.
I suppose we better get a bit of Swans in, because we've got a new boss. I have been watching him over Christmas period and that. Do you know much about this guy in charge?
Seen a couple of interviews with him when he was with County, and he locks Russell Martin 2.0.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I think he's got a lot of links to Martin, and he...
Yeah.
And already, you can see, like... So, Swans, like, social media is already more fucking... more proactive than it had been in the last 6 months. Is that a coincidence? Probably not.
No.
But already you can tell, you know, sometimes you just want a manager who gets it, right? He looked at me, and from things that we were hearing, Michael Duff just didn't get it. Like, this kid seems to be coming along, and he looks like he's one of those. He looks like a perfect fit, if there is such a thing.
Yeah, yeah. I think he definitely appeases the vast majority of the fans regarding what they want from a manager, which Duff never did. He understands the style of play.
Yeah.
You know, he's a former assistant to Russell Martin at Swansea and MK Don, so he's been here previously anyway. Obviously, did a good job in Notts County.
Brilliant. Take away Wrexham's millions.
Yeah.
He's flying, like, yeah, you know. And I've seen what... It's always a good judge when you look at what Notts County fans... say about the club's manager, the court. They are full of fucking praise for them. Full of praise, like.
I did read somewhere about him. They were like, yeah, like, for us, fits our style of play, what we become used to over the years down here. But does have defensive vulnerabilities. I was thinking myself, oh fuck me, we've already got defensive vulnerabilities.
We love a defensive vulnerability.
Oh my god, because I didn't watch the FA Cup game, but I watched the game, the 2-2 draw against, oh fuck me, who did we play last week, whatever it was, I fucking can't remember. Birmingham, my old man went up, and in the first half we done the same things that maybe not as bad. Well, I think it was actually worse than under Duff, because we tried to play everything up
there, and
we gave the ball away a fucking lot. And look, I'm going to repeat this over and over and over and over. You need to have the players to do it. You can't, not every player can be Franco Baresi.
Yeah.
Not every player can be comfortable at the ball at the back. And we don't have those players comfortably, especially with Nathan Wood, fucking Bang Bango, even Darling. They put themselves under pressure all the time. This keeper has had a bit of a blip more recently, giving silly passes away. I would just, for a fucking spell, be a bit more direct and get the ball into the midfield and move it forward quicker, because you don't need to be giving goals away. We haven't got a ton of goals in us either, so it's not like we're going to win games 5-4 shit like that. You've got to be solid at the back first. You know, if you think about the size we had, you know, we talked about it in the past, when Paulo Sousa came in, yeah, he wasn't everyone's cup of tea, and we were very fucking boring, but we were fucking rock solid at the back. And that defensive unit went on for years after that.
Yeah.
Reliable and solid under Rodgers and everything that came forward. We got to get back to that. You build your base solid at the back, and then you can fucking work forward. Let's not be putting ourselves under fucking pressure. But look, things look more positive. Obviously, we heard a lot of negative stuff about Duff, and we weren't the only people that's glad to see him fucking go, to be honest. And hopefully onwards and upwards for the fucking Swans. Sam Parker, the 17-year-old, the playing on the right hand side.
Yeah, yeah.
Promising. Look, let's hope things can get better for the fucking Swans, because I still continue to watch them, even though a lot of times they dry. I think to myself, what am I doing this for today? And then I'm fucking screaming at the TV again, losing my fucking rag. Do you know what I mean? But look, fingers fucking crossed. that gets fucking going.
Did we see we always fucking pray Sophie up to me. Did you see the manager announcement when he was dressed as Luke Skywalker?
Yes.
Pat was fucking little fucking Yoda. Fucking genius, isn't it? There ain't many EFL clubs doing shit like that, are they? You know what I mean? Sticking a fucking number 10 playmaker on Yoda's napper. Genius, mate. Sophie always pulls out the bag.
Pad. People have been waiting for this for a long time.
Yeah, and do you know what? I've only got a couple of lines, but I hope this is where you come in through on
right.
with the research, right? And I think we left it for the right fucking time. This isn't as big a story as it actually should be.
It should
unbelievable.
Well, what a shock that is, that mainstream media are trying to play this down.
So before we start with nonce or not officially, you mentioned Mountbatten earlier. Like, so he was either, I think he was the king's uncle, or definitely the king's godfather, but he was one of the most important people in King Charles, right? The king of this country. He was one of the most important people in his life, right? Looked up to him, took his advice on everything, distraught when he passed away. The FBI released files that said Mountbatten, and in quote Mark said, had a perversion for young boys, right? And he's the king's advice. He's the one who the king looks up to. Like, it says a lot, right? When the queen's sons, right, chose the world's worst ever paedophiles as their best friends.
Yeah. No.
Jimmy Savile and fucking Epstein.
Yeah.
Don't this tell you a lot about that fucking crazy, crazy family?
Yeah.
Party. Go.
Absolutely crazy. So, yes, we've been waiting for this a long time. We were hoping that it was going to be the Ghislaine Maxwell submarine.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe that'll come in time.
Yeah.
But obviously, the Epstein files have been thrown all over. Now, I will say this just to fucking try and cover us for any potential lawsuits in the future.
Yeah.
This list is an alleged list.
No
one's fucking even accused of anything. Well, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Right, okay.
Until I did a bit of research on the people I didn't know.
Okay.
So I said to you, I told you in a text, I reckon we got about 7 fucking weeks worth of episode, the list is extensive. And I just done A to C.
Yeah, right? Okay. So we'll do, every week we'll do D to F. Right. And we'll have a little 5 minutes on each other.
Right, okay. Maybe not if we've got something in here who doesn't understand what the fuck we're talking about.
Yeah. Obviously, bring Kieran Gibbons talking about Palestine and fucking Israel. We're not going to bust out why it's fucking Sean Wright Phillips on the Epstein list.
So first of all, I'll ask you, do you know who the person is when I say the name?
Yeah.
And if I'll give you a little background on the ones that I don't think you'll know, right? Because there's some I didn't know, right? So I'm starting at A up the top. Adam Perry Lang. Do you know who that is? Didn't know who he was either.
Yeah.
I had absolutely no idea. So I put in Adam Perry Lang. What comes up first thing? Adam Perry Lang will cooperate with police in Epstein case. Right, who the fuck's Adam Perry Lang? Celebrity chef. British celebrity chef.
Oh, fuck. Hang about.
Worked for Epstein.
Okay,
so
fucking
I don't...
small children in a fucking air fryer.
very, very... He's fully cooperating with the investigation. So I don't know much more about Adam Perry Lang other than that. Are we nonce or not? It's a chef. Are chefs nonce?
Andy Waller Thompson.
No.
But fuck.
I don't know. If you're Epstein's chef,
that's not your fault, really.
It's not your fault, but are you privy to certain things that are going on?
Yeah, but who out the back cooking fucking steak tartare? I don't know who's being fingered in the fucking bedroom, do you?
Very good.
You know what I mean? Walking in new chef whites and shit. And chefs are all mad, don't forget. Chefs are crack as they work mad hours.
Yeah, you've got to deal with
fish. Have you seen the film The Beach? That fucking Italian guy? Fish. Any soap, I can't get the fucking smell of fish off my fingers. No, chefs are fucking crap.
We may leave Adam Perry Lang. Akon,
the rapper,
locked up. He's telling you. You see, he's foreshadowing it himself.
Yeah,
see?
It's already in. Yeah,
locked up. That's his most famous song.
So I'd say Akon's quite new, but he's probably been around fucking 20 years.
Akon's not one of them that would jump out to me and go, oh, massive case.
Yeah.
But he don't know. Aegon.
People like him, we give us a pass, do we? Because, like, if someone said to me, you know, Pad, right, do you want to come on the private jet? It's like a fucking island with blue and white fucking parish all at the top. You know what I mean? Possibly a chance to shag some young girls, preferably over the age of 17. We got to go, we'll have a look, innit? What's the worst thing?
What's the worst thing?
You know, but when we get the major political figures, I think you've got to.
Speaking of major political figures,
yeah,
I'll go.
Oh, no, so this cunt, right, is telling us not to take planes, yeah, right? And then he's jumping on Epstein's plane
to his sex island.
Girls, like,
yeah.
Always be wary of the lecturers, yes, not the lecture people being lectured. You know what I mean? Anyone who got a lot to say for himself, there's always something behind them. Fucking Al Gore, the little rat.
Yeah, he can stick his climate change up his hole.
Up his asshole. Up his ozone layer.
Alan Dershowitz.
Right, he's the big Jewish liar, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's always involved. And now he's trying to say, no, no, I want there as a fucking legal representative.
Alan Dershowitz.
Al's a fucker.
Yeah, he's,
we need something with O.J. Simpson case.
He's been involved in fucking loads. If anyone doesn't know who Alan Dershowitz is, just go and fucking Google
him. He's a wrong one, yeah.
He is a wrong one, fucking all the way through. Alan Dershowitz, massively on the nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, Albert Pinto, or Albert Pinto. Do you know who that is?
No, no.
Neither did I, really. He's a Spanish movie director.
They all are,
yeah.
They all are, like, you know what I mean?
As soon as I saw a Spanish movie director, I was like, potential for nonsense.
All these film directors, apart from Kevin Allen, obviously.
Yeah.
He's all like he is. But, you know what I mean? You've got to think, you know.
Alec Baldwin.
Is Alec the one who shot the girl? Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
And now, I don't want Alec Baldwin to be a nonce, because Alec Baldwin has been in some good shit. He's brilliant in The Departed.
Brilliant in The Departed.
Right. I used to watch 30 Rock. 30 Rock is fucking great, yeah. Alec Baldwin, one of them, like with Tom Hanks, even though there may be, you know, there's no smoke without fire.
Yes, yeah.
I don't want Alec Baldwin.
No. Even though he shot that girl on set.
That's weird. You know what I mean?
So you've been involved in some silly Billy stuff. Like, you know what I mean?
You know, murdering someone on set.
On set. Like,
yeah, it's,
you know,
a bit strange,
isn't it? Come on, Al. Yeah. And then being on the fucking flight list.
And then you're on the flight list, yeah.
Help yourself out.
Yeah, you know what I mean? There's only so much you can do for someone.
Exactly.
Day,
like,
you know?
We know you have to help them.
No. Right, now I didn't know who this person was, so that's why I googled it, right? Alison Mack. Now,
is she not an actress?
Right, Pad, you're on the right track. Yeah, she was in Smallville, right? Okay.
Right.
So I googled Alison Mack, and it brought up like a Wikipedia Smallville actress and that, and right underneath it was. Hang on, this still look a bit dodgy. Arrested. Right. Listen to this. Mack was a member of a multi-level marketing company described as a cult. Now, I can't even... The marketing, it's like XVIVX. It's some like skull and bones shit.
Right,
It's a symbol.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not even fucking... Right? She was arrested by federal authorities on charges of sex trafficking and forced labour. She pled guilty to racketeering charges and was sentenced to 3 years, but she needed 21 months.
So character.
Absolutely involved in some shady shit.
Unbelievable.
So you're telling me she's on Epstein's plane. She's part of a secret society. She got charged with sex trafficking and forced labour. And then she ends up getting away with, because she got away with, if you think about what she was charged on, right? She got away with racketeering charges, sentenced to 3 years and only did 21 months. That sounds like someone
probably in press kind, like, you know, open prison, dawdle, Snickers and Marses every day, strutting around the fucking local town. Ridiculous.
Alison Mack, wrong and
nonce.
Right. Anderson Cooper, you know who that is, isn't he?
The white haired newsreader on CNN.
You only got to take one look at him.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's been a lot of stuff. You can look into him. He's a bit of a fucking wrong as well. He's 100% on a nonce list. Listen, Andres Pastrana, do you know who that is?
Sounds like the IRA spy, didn't he?
Colombian ex-president. See? Political figures, right. Yet again.
You
the president.
Cannot go any higher than El Presidente of your country.
Right.
Why are you getting involved in all these, with these people? It, like, surely, like, you should be going, these are bad eggs, like, you know what I mean? I'll fucking stay away, like. Silly Billy.
Potential nonce, definitely. Angelina Jolie. I'm sure she was on the first nonsense we did. But
well, she was drinking Billy Bob's blood.
Do you know, like listen, look what I got written for that.
Billy Bob's blood.
Drunk Billy Bob's blood.
Right.
Right. No. So if people don't understand this, right, now, me and you know the same story. Angelina Jolie is a wicked lucky bit and has been for a long time, right, okay? And many, many years ago, she was married, I believe, to Billy Bob
Thornton. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Billy Bob Thornton, if you put Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton together and they said, oh, those two are a couple, at that time, you would have gone, absolutely not.
Yeah. We're talking like Les Dennis, Amanda Holden, Les.
Right. Like, Billy Bob Thornton looks like he's homeless.
Yeah.
And he's knocking off a strong 9.5 out of 10.
Yeah, 10 out of 10,
right? And they were... I remember seeing interviews of them all over each other, and then stories come out that she used to drink his blood and this and that. This is satanic Illuminati shit. Angelina Jolie, I know she's adopted a few kids, even that, oh my God, you know,
you think about that now.
Potential weirdness, if not on the nonsense.
I love Donna to death. I ain't drinking any of her blood.
No, thank you.
When we were first together, when I had gone down time of the month, maybe. Am I drinking that stuff? Absolutely, categorically not. We're avoiding that like the plague.
Yeah. Anthony Kiedis.
Oh, not a fucking one of the greatest bands in the world. You know,
Red
Flea, the drummer. I get it. Anthony Kiedis. Why the fuck are these people getting involved? Like, you know what I mean?
It's a weird one, that.
Yeah.
It's a weird one. Anthony Kiedis, who seemingly has got... definitely more feminine over the years.
I haven't seen any.
I saw an interview with him. He was on Rogan
right.
not so long ago, and he's way more feminine than he was when he was in fucking Point Break.
Yeah,
when he was like the fucking hardcore surfer trying to stab fucking Keanu Reeves.
Fuck right?
Yeah. Anthony Weiner. Do you know who he is?
Isn't he a politician?
He is a proper wrong'un.
Right, come on then.
He's a disgraced...
Even his name, Weiner, I don't trust him.
He's a disgraced American politician, right? Known sex case. They, listen to this story, right? You can fucking find this. This is all... This is not some conspiracy theory. This is fucking true, right? So, his missus is Hillary Clinton's top aide. She's the like the she's like stuck to Hillary Clinton's fucking hip, right? And when he got done, I think he sent images to like an underage girl, and it got out, and they took his laptop in. New York City NYPD fucking raided his house or his apartment or whatever the fuck, took his laptop out of there. 10 officers involved. Since that, 8 of them have committed suicide.
Are you fucking winding me up?
Serious.
8 of the officers have been Arkansas, they call it, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Look into that. Tell me, that's not a conspiracy theory. It's fucking this everywhere.
Do you know, I do worry about Ryan Hall, mate.
What, with Hillary?
Well, he's so close to Hillary, right? He's taking her to Fairy Kill, staying the night and all that. I do worry, like, one day if Ryan gives her, like, a fucking medium well steak instead of well done... Ryan's fucking gone. Ryan's in under the lighthouse bed. He's 16 foot under. Look, it's worrying, like, to lose good friends to the Killaries. Bad.
Barack Obama.
Oh, not Barack, surely.
You know, he's always come across as a bit of a charmer, hasn't he? Even though he was launching drone strikes in Syria, he was bombing
a lot of countries, a lot of countries at the time. But I guess what, you know, gets... Forgotten
about brushed under the carpet one, you know what I mean? Because he's got a bit of character. And he did that mic drop, which is
classic.
You know what I mean? And he got a couple of cool gifts, and he, in the one where he's sort of looking and everyone goes, oh, bro, he's a hell of a guy. He's like, apart from the fact he was like...
Kills a lot of innocent civilians
with them drone strikes. Yeah. But so Barack, there's potential for that president again. You know, we've got a couple of presidents so far. You know what I mean? This man we talked about earlier, actually, Ben Affleck. I wouldn't have had Affleck on a nonsense.
No. He don't look that type, do he?
No, I know.
Because we got to understand, like, so is it like a bit of a holiday destination as well?
I don't know.
Are people going over there for a couple of weeks? You know what I mean?
There is something to be said that if you're not to know, because obviously people know now. So let's say, for example, Epstein was still a girl and it was being broadcast everywhere that he was a potential sex case and people were still getting on these flights. Then you'd have to be concerned about it then, wouldn't you? But there is...
But don't you think, if you saw your name on our list, you would come out and say, this is what happened, like. But not one person have said, this is what that island is all about. This is what happened. Unbelievable.
So, just to give you an example of maybe you don't know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, yeah.
So Chris Tucker, you know who Chris Tucker is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chris Tucker, who's Smokey in the film Friday, in Rush Hour, the film, stand-up comedian, everything. I saw something yesterday where Chris Tucker's on a podcast, doing like a Zoom podcast or something. And the guy just goes to him, so yeah, I saw your name on the Epstein list. They're like, it's proper like...
Brilliant.
Fucking, put it on him. Like. Yeah, proper like fucking sticks it on him. And Chris Tucker's like, oh, and he's awkward. You know what I mean? And he's like a really confident guy and he's awkward. And he just goes, look, what happened was I was doing, I was part of a charity, doing charity work in Africa along with, I can't remember who he mentions, might have been Brack Farm actually. And I was just there. I didn't know who the guy was. They just put me on a plane and it, you know, and it, but it looks, because the way he reacts.
Stuttering.
And he's like pretty flying guy. So there is something to be said that maybe people... Especially if this happened way before Epstein ever got outed as a potential sex trafficker, that they may have just got on there with good intentions and just gone there and gone, well, this is a bit strange. Out there. Or they didn't see any of it, do you know what I mean? Or they were massive raging nonsense, we don't know. Straight to the top of the political spectrum in America yet again. Bernie Sanders?
No! Because I thought Bernie's totally out of the...
The
cabal. Like, you know, he's against the cabal, isn't he? You know what I mean?
Bernie Sanders on there. I'm going no nonce on that. I'm going to go...
I wouldn't have thought so.
My non-star is not going off there. Beyonce.
Heard of Jay-Z got something funny going on.
There's a lot of Illuminati shit around Jay-Z and Beyonce. Look... I'm not saying she's on the nonce list, but I'm saying she's definitely... There's some sort of weird Illuminati stuff going on with her. Definitely. Bill Clinton, we know.
We know for the fact.
Bill have been on there more times than fucking Epstein been on
there. Bill is some character. Like, you know what I mean? Bill don't give a monkeys for no one or nothing.
No.
You know what I mean?
I'm amazed Hillary hasn't seen him off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But in your ticket...
Well, I suppose. You know what I mean? Surely she's past that now. You know what I mean? She's her own fucking entity. You know what I mean? Who knows? Who knows? But on the nonce list. Bill Gates. Massive nonce.
Massive. We've only got to see him dancing on stage in that Microsoft conference with all his gimpy mates to know there's something wrong there.
Like. You know, and he's obviously Illuminati as fuck, buying up all the farmland and fucking, he just, you know, that's what he's into. He's into being... to control in the world, you know what I mean?
He's the equivalent of a busy cunt in work, isn't he?
Yeah.
Get his fingers in everything, know your place,
never done a day's medicine, lecturing the world about COVID. Prick. Now, this one, again, I recognise the name, didn't know who it was, really surprised by when I looked into it. Bob Saget, I'm going to say Saget, I don't know if that's the way
it's called. Bob Saget.
American, I think TV presenter, found dead in his hotel. Oh, comedian, sorry. Found dead in his hotel room while on tour. Right, that happens.
I suppose you've got to be blunt.
Blunt force trauma. The accidental blunt force trauma.
So blunt force trauma is battered over the head with a hammer.
Accidental blunt force trauma. All right, okay. Maybe he fell over. Although his family sued county officials to stop them releasing further details about his death. So keep it
wrong
on the ushers.
Wrong and
Bob, what have you done there, mate? Do you know what I mean? Proper dodgy areas when you look into it. Now this one, again, we don't want this to be true. Bruce Willis.
Oh, especially now he's ill and all. I got dementia and shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You can't
remember Die Hard. You can't remember fighting Ireland on the top of Nakatomi Tower. No, we don't want Bruce Willis, like. No. Bruce Willis, listen. We'll stop Die Hard from Die Hard 3. Three incredible films. Armageddon, you know what I mean?
Tremendous
incredible.
Film.
What other great film? Hudson Hawk in Bad?
I can't claim to remember much about Hudson Hawk, I'll be fucking perfectly honest with you. Last Man Standing, do you ever see that?
No.
With, oh my God, that's a great film. Christopher Walken in that?
Yes, I'm thinking Christopher Walken. It sounds familiar.
It's a good film. Last Man Standing is a good film. He's in another good film, Matthew Perry, which gets forgotten about, where he's a gangster that moves in next door to Matthew Perry.
Yes. I can't think of the name.
It's brilliant. I watched that a couple of times.
Nine Yards?
The whole Nine Yards.
Yeah. I suppose, listen, I watched Die Hard Christmas time. I haven't seen it for a few years. It's a fucking tremendous film. Tremendous film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Really good film. This is one of the most random names that I came across in this first section of the list. Callum Hudson-Odoi.
I saw it and I just didn't get my head around it. This is why I think, is this list just some cunt like me and him who's gone on the printer and just putting names out there like fucking, you know what I mean, Sir Trevor McDonald and shit?
I will say, up to this point, you could go along with anyone that has been mentioned, right? As soon as I saw Callum Hudson-Odoi, I was like, there's no way in the world. Now, if anyone doesn't know, the Blue doesn't know Callum Hudson-Odoi, is he plays on the left-hand side of midfield for Nottingham Forest, right?
Yeah.
And he used to play for Chelsea. And I think he went abroad for a bit. Salzburg or something, and then came back, or one of them teams. I saw that, so I went on, and there was newspaper articles, online articles about it. And he was like, I don't even know where this comes from. I would have been a child. Do you know
what he said? Yeah.
Right. So Callum Hudson-Odoi adds no credibility to the list.
Yeah.
So we're going to give him a pass. It's definitely no nonce. Celine Dion.
Oh, she got to think twice about that. come on, Celine. But again, eye up, Carey. You know what I mean? They all eye up in the fucking music world. You could see it. You could see him being there. Like.
My brother, who's obviously mental... Conspiracy theorist says nobody gets famous by chance. It has to be, you have to have done something to get to that point.
But surely not everyone. Well, or that level of fame we talk
to about. That level of fame, maybe. You know what I mean? I'm not sure. You know what I mean? Maybe people got there on their own, but maybe Celine Dion.
Yeah,
we put her on the maybe list. This one really wounded me when I saw it. Right, Charles Barkley, basketball legend.
No way.
92 right. Dream Team, right? Listen, I can't find a single thing about Charles Barkley being on any list, let alone being there. Sir Charles Barkley, no nonce.
Yeah, he's still a competent.
He's on ESPN. He's one of the biggest names in basketball in America. They have Game Time on ESPN, and it's him, Shaquille O'Neal, Kenny the Jet Smith, and I can't think of the other guy's name off the top of my head, but they are like...
The Gillette Soccer
Saturday when they used to have Tessier and Charlie Nicholas and that. They're there. I listened to a podcast with him literally just before Christmas. And they're on fucking ridiculous money. They got great lives. You know? They're two of the, Shaq and Charles Barkley, two of the biggest stars.
Like
Carter and Carter.
What was that podcast you said before Christmas?
All the Smoke. And that's All the Smoke. And that's what I listened to him on All the Smoke. Brilliant. Yeah, I love basketball, but they had Andre Ward on last week.
Right.
Brilliant. I just finished listening to it yesterday. But I didn't realise, Andre Ward, going slightly off topic, Andre Ward had like a hell of a rough upbringing. Like his father was a drug addict, heroin.
Really?
His mother was a crack addict. And he was going the wrong way. And boxing pretty much saved his life.
Yeah.
He found God as well as finding boxing. And then... fascinating, obviously, because they ask, you know, it's a lot of boxing, and obviously it's just all boxing, really.
Yeah.
Fucking really good podcast, and not one that you got to listen to for 4 hours either. It's only like 90 minutes to really, really good. last two, because listen, we could go on forever, right? Because these are going to go on forever. We still at sea. Charlie Sheen.
Oh, I could see him. He don't give a fuck. See him up there.
Charlie Sheen, known drug addict, known sex addict, known for banging porn stars, prostitutes, doing anything debauched. Apparently, if you listen to, what's his name, out of the fucking Goonies, Corey Feldman, he bummed him as well.
Really?
Yeah, I think Charlie Sheen, they were on what film was it? They were on a film together when Corey Feldman was young, and he reckons that Charlie Sheen raped him. Like I said, that's all alleged.
Exactly.
There's no one's taking Corey Feldman serious for a while because he's off his fucking head. But obviously, that could be down to the fact he's living with trauma because he was abused as a kid by Charlie Sheen, potentially. You know what I mean? So, Charlie Sheen, we're going to go nonce on that.
100%.
Yeah.
Listen, if Kid from the Goonies is saying a rape, then we're going to listen to fucking him. Yeah. Him, date, that chunk, whatever they say is fine by me. Like, you know what I mean?
Last one, and this is another weird one. Charlize Theron.
Do you know some of the backstory behind her?
No, so go on. You're going to...
So, no, we was talking earlier about adopting kids from Africa and all that. Mm. Charlize Theron adopted 4 kids from Africa.
Right.
And every single one of those kids is transgender. Children. So she adopted like boys from Africa and decided that these kids are transgenderic. So fucking Mufasa, I've come from fucking Nairobi thinking he's won the fucking lottery by moving into Hollywood Hills with one of the smartest fucking birds in Hollywood. You know what I mean? Wanking over his stepmother, which I don't agree with, but don't kill the messenger on that. And she started dressing him up and like fucking E.T. when they take him fancy dress. Dressing them up as a woman, like 4 African kids, and she made them all. She decided that they are all transgender. Like,
no,
tell
no,
me no, that no. that is not I, very, I was, very, very weird.
I was going to go with no nonsense.
Huh?
We're going straight to nonsense.
We go straight to nonsense, you know.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything so fucking mad? Like no. These kids have come over. They're too
young. What's the chances? What's the chances of if me and you went and adopted 4 kids each now from Africa, that all 4 of them would be... You'd win the lottery 4 times before that happened.
Yeah.
Right? So obviously she's forced... Not forced, maybe not forced.
Forcing them, the kids on her ideals.
Yeah, her ideas, guiding them that way.
Just go and adopt 4 girls.
If that's what you want, yeah.
Fucking hell. Tell me that's not extremely weird.
Very odd. Very odd. And to finish, that is to finish...
What a great way to end that.
That definitely took me by surprise, that one. Yeah. That's only A to C, and I don't even think that was even all the C's. I only got a CH. Charles, Charlie, Charlie's. There we are. We all like a bit of Charlie's, don't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Until now, anyway, not now. We'll come back around that. We'll drag it out for as long as we can. I just literally, I would have done more, but I honestly ran out of time. I was, when you're looking in and you're going,
unbelievable, the list.
What's this guy? Who is this guy? Oh, he's involved with that? Oh my God, this is fucking odd. Listen, the nonce list is out there.
Yeah.
And they're coming for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But maybe they're not because...
I don't think they are.
No, they're not really, are they? Because
when we are the voice of reason, we know the world is fucked.
We're fucked.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely fucked. Daniel Earl's fighting tonight.
Bit. I was just going to bring it up. Wow.
Mm.
Talk about different fucking gravy, different breed. Gone out there. Don't know what I love. Taking his daughter.
Just took his daughter with
right? him. Right? I fucking love it. Like, no, it's like, when you talk about stories, like, I think it might just be them too. He's going in the lion's den on his fucking own in a fucking brightly coloured autism t-shirt with his fucking daughter front row. To one of the fucking baddest men in America in Fort Lauderdale. And he's going, you don't give a fuck for no one.
Absolutely.
Crazy. Absolute story. Giving his daughter the fucking holiday of a lifetime. You come with daddy. While you're having a swim in the pool, I'll be fucking going in the gym and fucking working hard as fuck. But then obviously, once daddy has a fight, then we'll have fucking 4 or 5 days, just me and you. What a warrior. Yeah. What a fucking warrior.
Scary to think of, like, because obviously when I first saw that he was just out there with his daughter, I was like, there's got to be someone with him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, someone got to be with him, cornering him or something. And then it doesn't seem like that. So he has literally just gone, well, fuck this, I'll go over, stove this guy's head in, hopefully. And fucking.
It's tonight. If I was listening,
so it'll be tomorrow.
It will be by the time this comes out.
You listen to this.
Do you know what? Win or lose, like. He's doing it.
He's a maniac.
He's a fucking lunatic. He's doing it. And I loves it. He's doing his interviews for American telly. And he's like saying, I'm just a fucking boy from Town Hill, following Lily, just coming over to fucking caves.
James messaged me today and said, fun fact for you, where Daniel is fighting tonight, that's where I made my American debut as well, which I
had to
the same arena and everything, even though it's for 2 different promotions.
Yeah.
James Ford for BKFC and Daniel's fighting for BYB, which is connected to BKFC, the connection to the promotion he fights for in this country. Triangle Ring, which is strange.
Is it really? Yeah. That could be different for him.
I watched when they did it. So BYB and BKB have become like sort of connected.
Right,
BYB is the American and BKB is the UK. BYB fight in a triangle. It's hard to call it a ring, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It's a triangle. So it's slightly weird because they can get into awkward spots where they're trapped, you know what I mean? And things like that. I watched the show on a Sunday afternoon a while back and it's different. Whether it'll make any difference to Dan, I don't know. You know what I mean? Hopefully he'll just go up there and just punch his guy's fucking head and then get out there nice and safe. So fingers fucking crossed for that. As regards Lily, stuff's coming up. I can't announce it yet, but James has got things on the horizon because I spoke to him and hopefully we're going to have a nice little trip away soon. So that is fucking great. Big UFC this weekend, Sean Strickland and Duplessis. Been watching Embedded all week and buzzing. I watched it before I come over and just
good. I haven't seen you Embedded for a while.
Four episodes of Embedded out.
Is it in South Africa or Vegas?
No, it's in Canada. Randomly.
Really?
Snowing like fucker. Fucking freezing.
Strickland a madman.
Strickland's a maniac. His press conference yesterday was fucking tremendous. I only watched the first 5-6 minutes. He managed to offend pretty much everyone. He's not well in the head. He's a legitimate madman. And glad to see actually that nobody seems to be trying to tone him down. Like, you know, the UFC are just going, no, that's what he's like. He's a fucking maniac. He's offensive, you know what I mean? He's a fucking headbanger. He fight any can't. And that should be a good main event. It's a decent card all the way around, but it's the main one you're going to want to watch is that fucking main event. Strickland and Duplessis should be a fucking barnstormer this weekend. Outside of that, pad, Gladiators last weekend. We were talking about as we watched it.
Proper Saturday night television.
We did last Saturday. We haven't done this for ages, right? Me, Tina, and the kids, Saturday night TV, all Saturday night. Literally in the living room, kids are having sweets and chocolate. I can't have that anymore because I can't have the sugar because it fucking wrecks me. And we watched Gladiators. What was after Gladiators? There was like three or four. What's the Ant and Deck thing? Limitless Win.
Oh, it's not Takeaway in the Saturday.
No, Limitless Win's on at the minute. We watched all, we sat there all night having a laugh. Gladiators, like the kids, I just was mad. The kids are going, Stan, what's this about then? And I'm thinking, it's fucking Gladiators, man.
Yeah.
No Gladiators, new. And they're like, no, we don't
know. Well, it wasn't, like,
What are they going to do? I'm like, well, these two guys now have got to beat the fucking Gladiators in some way, shape, or form to get fucking points.
Can you remember Shadow on Duo?
Yeah.
Beast. He used to batter every cunt, like.
Beast. Really? The only thing I was...
Roided up the fuck. There's no,
steroid
tests in Gladiators.
But there's not enough steroids in this Gladiators, I don't reckon.
Yes.
There's a couple of big lumps, but there's not enough obvious steroids.
Yeah.
That needs to fucking change. And there's too much sportsmanship. We need a bit more...
Wolf.
A bit more nastiness. You've got the guy pretending to be nasty. No. We need some proper needle in there. You know
so, like,
I mean?
One of the old Gladiators was really in with Curtis Warren. The cocky watchman, drug smuggler from Liverpool. And there was, like, a bent cop, Alec. And I can't remember which fucking Gladiator it was. I'll say next week, like, Cobra or something. He was, like... The go-between between the fucking Ben Cartwell and Curtis Warren, like, you know what I mean? Mad fucking story, like, you know what I mean? Brilliant.
Yeah, the steroids out for the boys. and that...
Is that.
First one back.
Emotional, you know what I mean?
Yeah, obviously, we've got to get
big year ahead.
Hopefully, we're going to be... It could be Wednesdays or Thursdays going forward.
Yeah, if it was Thursdays, a problem. We'll just change it to Wednesdays.
Every night out the fucking house for football training. So hopefully it'll be Wednesday or Thursdays going forward and we'll get as many people on as we can. I get fucking messages all the time. Why didn't you get him on? It was Liam Kelleher. Sorry, I got to drop that in.
Right, they're
probably on to the troubles.
I've
literally just remembered now. Great Irish name, that.
It is big,
very
strong,
good,
Irish
name. Spotlight on the Troubles, we talked about earlier, get fucking on that, it's fucking unbelievable. And we will be back fucking next week, Pat, it's been a pleasure. Pleasure to see you again.
Brilliant, yeah.
And we will get back on it, get the fuck out of here. Peace.
Ambition is critical.